It's that time of year where I say if you're hearing my voice, it means that your clock is set appropriately. Where appropriate is 6 p.m. Pacific GMT minus 8, that is. Either that or you're listening time shifted. In either case, thank you. It's the calm before the storm in the year of our misery, and it's about to become exhausting in the home stretch of the holidays. Don't get whiplash keeping up with the news. Before you turn on Do Not Disturb and go for a walk, join our hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki as we discuss the things we have, the things we're getting, the things we're not yet sure about, starting right now on the show where every gamer has a voice.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio live once again tonight with episode number 841 for this November 1st of 2020. My name is Rob Roberts, and joining me live here on the feed tonight is Techmaster Loki. Hi, Loki.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
It is good to see you. Sadly, we don't have Dark Sakura just yet. There is some type of technical difficulty going on her end with the computer reboot. So I expect her to jump in here at any moment to join us for the show, and we'll get things underway. That's for sure. In the meantime, before we get into our kickoff topic for tonight, Loki, how's the game progressing? This big mystery project you've been talking about for weeks and weeks. I know nothing about it because you're very secretive. You're being a AAA game company right now, not want to tell people about it.
Putting my own yellow text out, but I didn't.
Oh yeah, right. Oh yeah, we'll get into that later. That's for sure.
No, it's going okay. So this week it was finalizing the random spawn generator, which I did, and then hooking up audio. So I did that as well, and yeah, that's been what I've been working on. Now,
so are you willing to say an estimated release date, or are you afraid it's going to turn into a situation similar to a Cyberpunk?
Well, I can't say anything right now because I can't really go into more details about that either, because that would give stuff away. So I can't say anything because I can't say anymore. That's all I can say.
All right.
I'm trying to get it. I'm hoping to have it ready hopefully this month, or even, you know, definitely this year. I can't really go into more details. Sorry. Otherwise, it would spoil things.
I'm going to get the details from your kitty, Stella. That's for sure. That's where I'm going to get the details.
She knows I'm on a call, so now it's time to start screaming at me.
That's okay. Yeah. I'm expecting Smush to run in here any minute. We do tape live, of course, at the Voice of Geeks Network, twitch.tv/VogNetwork, every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. And I'm trying to read through chat on what's going on. Okay, I'll tell you what's going on. So one of my pals it was like a year ago on this show, I talked about that Survivor LARP that I was playing online that I won, right? So one of my pals that played that game with me, Karen, just joined the chat. So shout out to Karen. Karen and I never got to interact during the game because we were on like opposite tribes, and we even got swapped opposite each other. So I never really got to interact with Karen, but I've adored her, everything I've learned about her after the game. So what is going on? So I'm looking at chat, and Karen joins, and everyone wants to turn it into a discussion about the term Karen that is used to talk about the whole, you know, Kate from John and Kate Plus 8, I want to speak to your manager and all of that stuff. Y'all, how old are you? 12? Like, I thought we stopped making fun of people over their names. Knock it off. Shame. Fatherly shame. My name is something you don't want to do to a bank, so you can let people live over their names. Good heavens. Good heavens. Where's my shame bell? Ding, 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 ding. All right. Y'all know better. But I know most of the time y'all are cool. And I also know that everybody's just real tense right now because there's a certain thing going on in America this Tuesday that has a lot of people on edge and pointed and with a lot of opinions on everything. So I get it. I get it. I just hope y'all have made your voting plan. I've been talking about it for weeks and weeks on this program. Yes, we play video games, but it's important to use those voices in, you know, this what the government gives you the right to do, what the Constitution gives you the right to do, and vote, because you damn right, government can influence what goes on with video games, right? We've talked about countless issues here on this program, such as, remember in California when they were going to say that GameStop could no longer sell a mature game, but that concept of what is a mature game was very kind of nebulous as to what that was. That's definitely a political thing. So, yes, politics can impact video games. So I hope y'all have made your voting plan. Get on that. Just so you know, with the election on Tuesday, if you're planning to vote by mail, it's kind of too late unless you already did it in a lot of places. So that's why I told you 2 weeks ago to get your voting plan going. But it's not too late to go vote in person, or at least you can
test.
Take.
Test,
hi,
test.
Jamie. We hear you. Just test. A moment. Jamie, we hear you. I don't think she hears us. All right. So, but make sure that you take your ballot in person, if nothing else. Don't actually drop that in the mail. So, all right. Good. Everybody in chat is sharing their plans. Love to see it. Love to see it. Okay. So I think Dark Sakura joined us. Can you hear me now, Jamie? Nope, she can't. She's having some issues, I guess. Maybe now. Maybe it'll be better. That's the joy of doing live radio, is that sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But I see the little webcam loading in, so hopefully we'll have a Jamie here in a minute. Hi, Dark Soccer. Can you hear us okay? Okay, something weird is going on, but that's all right. All right. Looking at some comments in chat, Black Compat says, surrendered my mail to early vote in person. Okay. The Breakman says, I live near the early voting place. It's been busy every day. I've never seen anything like it. DG Rama S says, my polling place is 3 blocks from my house. I'll be heading over after I eat breakfast. Good. Bobby Blackwell says, I'm going Tuesday. That's fine. If you're willing to do the waiting on the day of, that's totally fine. And we have folks not from America voicing their support. Karen, who I mentioned earlier, says, I'm Canadian, but I support you all. And Act Deft brings up the fact that I'm Mexican, and the same goes from my part. So we appreciate the love from other countries, and we hope you all participate in the similar processes in your countries if they are afforded to you, depending on where you live, whenever those elections may be. Okay, so we're still waiting for Dark Soccer to join us. Clearly, she's having some technical issues. We're going to try our best to get through those. For now, I'm going to jump into the kickoff topic. I apologize. The webcam looks a little weird. I just have to keep switching between when there's one person on Discord and when there's two. But we're going to try to get into the top of the show here. So, and our kickoff topic. So, Loki, do you want to start us off on our kickoff topic? Because, you know, we're only like not even 2 weeks from brand new game console releases, right? And we have
like a week.
Yeah, like just over a week. We have Xbox Series X. We have PlayStation 5 both coming out in the next couple weeks. So we have that coming. And we still don't have all the answers as to how it's necessarily going to work, which is a little bit scary, I think.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, wait, hold on just 1 sec. Did Dark Sakura get in okay? Can you hear us? For some reason, she still can't hear us, even though we see her fine. So we'll have to figure that out. All right. Well, anyway, why don't you tell us what's going on, Loki?
Yeah. So the question's been, you know, especially with these consoles now supporting backwards compatibility to a certain extent, is, well, how much backwards compatibility are they actually supporting? So with Sony, we're not really sure. They said most games are going to be backwards compatible, but apparently on Ubisoft, they had a blog post that was listing that there are certain compatibility issues or certain games that wouldn't be backwards compatible on Xbox and PlayStation. It said basically on PlayStation 5, all games will be backwards compatible except for the following ones: Assassin's Creed Syndicate, Assassin's Creed Chronicles Trilogy Pack, Assassin's Creed Chronicles India, Assassin's Creed Chronicles China, Assassin's Creed Chronicles Russia, Risk, Star Trek Bridge Crew, Werewolves Within, and Space Junkies. However, they have later retracted that blog post and just basically put a generic, you know, we've pulled the Ubisoft Connect article and forum regarding backwards compatibility for the time being, as there may be some inaccuracies involved with the Ubisoft titles that were playable on PlayStation 5. So they haven't yet listed which titles are going to be having issues on there, but I guess we'll have to wait and see.
And this is crazy because, you know, when we saw that list of what games would and would not be backwards compatible, or I should just say would not, because it was a very short list, from Sony, you know, there were 10 games on it, but with all due respect to the developers, they were not 10 major games. They were games that people could kind of give or take, I think. They were not, you know, you had nothing major on that list. But now Ubisoft is coming out with this list, and I would say Assassin's Creed and those and many of the games that Loki made, those are pretty major games. Now we're having an issue. So it's a little weird that we're finding all of this out, like, what, not even 2 weeks to go before the release of the console? Now, there could be a weird miscommunication. It could be that maybe Ubisoft doesn't have the most recent development kits or something. Maybe there was a late addition to the emulator software that Sony's working with. So maybe Ubisoft's been doing their own tests and they're not concurrent with Sony. That's kind of what I think is really happening. I think Ubisoft is playing with one version of the emulator and Sony's on the other. At least that's what I hope, because if it turns out that Sony has been kind of like, I don't want to say lying to us, but that's what it's sure going to feel like. That's what's going to come across like with the backwards compatibility thing. That is going to leave a really sour taste in people's mouths. I just want to jump in here because I see Jamie on camera. I want to know if we have her on the show officially. Hi, Jamie. Are you with us? Okay, we don't hear you. You're muted on Discord. I can see the mute icon. Oh, she's trying to fix it. Okay.
Try now.
Hooray! You're here!
The headset that I'm using now has, like, kind of weird setup for the mute.
Uh-huh.
Basically, you know, I was using my work headset before this.
Uh-huh.
I found on one of those resale sites someone had, like, a better version of my work mic.
Oh.
And I offered him $10 for it, and I got it for $10, and it sounds a lot better.
Yeah, you sound great.
Yeah, well, I mean, that the headset sounds great. I don't.
No, well, okay, I know you've been dealing with a little bit of sick. Let's finish the Ubisoft topic, and then I'll come to catch up with Dark Sakura, okay? All right, so I'm just glad you're here and you made it despite all those tech issues. All right, so anyway, the Ubisoft thing. So, Loki, what's your takeaway from this? Do you think this is Sony's, like, lion, or do you think it's Ubisoft is not testing correctly? What's your read on what's going on here? I'm curious about you guys in chat, too.
I don't know what the issue is with it, but they're not mainline Assassin's Creed games. They're the ones that were out, like, on the PlayStation Store or the Xbox original, not original, Xbox Live Arcade stuff. Those are basically the games that they had. I don't know. I don't really play Assassin's Creed. I don't think it's a big deal either way. They're minor games. Maybe they're going to release a different version for them. Maybe they're just, you know, working on backwards compatibility, and it's just not going to be backwards compatible at launch or something. And maybe they're not willing to say, oh, it's not going to work at all, that maybe just, like, wanting to give a certain date for it. I don't know. It doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's a big deal, but they could be a little bit more clear about it. Cause I know, when we're talking about, you know, the other console, it is more clear on what games that supports and which ones it doesn't.
Going to our chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork, Fifth Dream says, if your entire reason for being is playing old games, old Assassin's Creed on a new console, just leave your PlayStation 4 plugged in. You're a small percentage of 0%. Respectfully, I could not disagree more. Like, and I think it's... Go ahead, Loki, and I'll get my
content. And I get that, but it's a value proposition because basically, like, say, for example, not everybody's, like, loaded with money to buy these new consoles. They're expensive. And maybe the plan was I'm going to trade my old console in, get some money for it or sell it off, and then buy it because I heard that these games are backwards compatible on that console. So I'm not really losing my library they've purchased online. And I can use these console, you know, this new console to play those games. And maybe you're counting on that because you have some money invested with this old console, so you can't really afford to keep both of them. Or maybe you just don't want to have both of them hooked up.
It's
like, I know, you know, the PlayStation 3 games aren't really supported too well on that console, and I don't want to have to hook my PlayStation 3 back up, or PlayStation 2, or whatever the case may be. I only have a finite amount of space around my TV, so I don't know. I get it. I get the argument that, yeah, maybe you could just keep both plugged in, but it's not the most ideal situation.
Right. And here's why I said what I said about, you know, I really disagree with the comment. I'm sorry, but and you're not alone in your thinking. I've had to kind of respond to this a lot with my take on it. But I think especially with this generation of games, we have new consoles that are really starting to feel like, you know, PC or computer type of upgrades where, you know, and there a lot of the argument is really being made on this, especially with a lack of launch titles on both sides. I mean, sure. Okay, you have Miles Morales, which is also on PS4. You have the Demon Souls remake. And then on the Xbox side, you have like one or two things. But like, you know, Halo got bumped back. So, I mean, on both consoles, I'm sorry, you have a relatively lackluster launch. So they're really trying to make the argument on this is going to make your old games even better. And Sony's been making that argument from the beginning. Think back to that early reveal when it was first revealed in that, I think it was a Wired article about the PlayStation 5 and some of the technical aspects of it. What game were they using to show off the PlayStation 5? They weren't using Demon's Souls. They were using Spider-Man from the PlayStation 4 and showing how the solid state drive could improve the loading times and improve the experience of the PlayStation 4. So my point is, yes, people want to play the old games on the new console because both Sony and Microsoft have been making the argument the old games will be better in this new experience. And that is what has sold me on an Xbox Series X for launch day is because, again, I've talked about this on the show before, I opted into Xbox Series X because my Xbox One is older and I never got into the One X, you know, the incremental upgrade there. So I really feel like there are going to be a lot of old games that are going to play a lot better on Series X. I am very much looking forward to revisiting something like Forza Horizon 4, which is a beautiful racing game. I can't wait to try it in 4K 60 frames a second. That's going to be awesome. So that's, you know, that to me, when they're kind of like making the old generation a part of this new generation, that's why it's like really dicey, I think, that yikes, suddenly these games may not work after all, but you've been saying it's going to be better on PlayStation 5. I don't know if that argument makes sense. So, Dark Sakura, what's your take on backwards compatibility? I know, if I'm not mistaken, you and Dan and your household is not opting into the new generation yet, right? No PS5 or Xbox X for you guys, right? Yet?
No, we're really not thinking about doing that anytime soon just because... Mm-hmm. We got shit we don't play already.
and you know what? That's totally fair. There's going to be a lot of people that don't upgrade right away, and it doesn't make you guys any less gamers. You know, it's fine. With the way the world is right now, the money thing alone is a barrier for many people, and we all get that. But let me ask you a hypothetical. If you were going to be looking into PlayStation 5 and that whole thing, how much does the backwards compatibility factor, especially since, you know, Dark Soccer, you're kind of the queen of the classic and the retro here on this show, how much does the backwards compatibility stuff weigh in to you, for you?
Not really at all, because, I mean, I have the systems. I mean, that's the thing. I have the systems. I don't need backwards compatibility. However, thinking in terms of the, I hate to say the average gamer, you know, they may not have those older systems. They may not have been a collector or have the capability to keep the old systems, maybe traded it in to get the new thing. And they have all this library of old games. So it would make sense that they would want to maximize that for their user base, all of these companies and, of course, Sony themselves. But that's logic, and they think with the bottom line, you know, if they can get people to rebuy things, then that's all better for them. I don't know. I mean, and I'm also coming from, I guess, a little bit of an old school thought with that, you know, that if, you know, when we got our Super Nintendos, we didn't expect them to play NES games, did we? When we got our N64, we didn't expect it to play our SNES games. And when I got my Dreamcast, I didn't expect it to play Saturn games. So backwards compatibility is it's a lot more of a new concept, I would say, in terms of gaming, that it's a bonus that isn't required to be there. Now the people have come to expect it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Ish. I mean, I agree with that to an extent, because we did have, even though Nintendo, you're right, Nintendo did set that standard with the TV consoles. They had the opposite standard when it came to the handhelds. Game Boy Advance did play Game Boy games, DS played Advance games, et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, I get it. It's sometimes there, sometimes not. So it's not totally fair to expect it as a reality, but maybe it's also a sign of, and I don't know, maybe it's a sign of how much PC gaming has started to come in a little bit. And I include Mac, all computers and phones really with that too, where, you know, the backwards compatibility thing isn't even a question, because, you know, you increment little pieces or you go to a new operating system or whatever, and the old stuff kind of works. So I think it's interesting.
Not always.
With some exception.
And for, like, for example, when they did like several re-releases, and I'm not talking about like the Windows 3.1 days, I'm talking about just like Windows 95 even, you know, going Mi edition, you know, whatever was past that.
No, you're
the
sorry. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
But, you know, more I'd say in like the modern era of, say, Windows gaming, there are still ones for pre-Windows 7 that will not run without emulation.
Fair, because you're right. There is that whole, it's the 32-bit, 64-bit thing. And that came into play on iOS and I think Android as well. For example, Flappy Bird doesn't play on the newest iPhones because Flappy Bird, you know, the guy stopped making it and he pulled it and it is not 64-bit or whatever it is. So it doesn't work. And that happened with Windows stuff too, is that, you know, the newest Windows will not necessarily play all the old stuff stable. So, okay, fair, you got me there. Although it is interesting where a lot of times the hacking, cracking, archivist community, I shouldn't lump all those things in together, but the community that really works to preserve archivism, we'll say, finds these workarounds, right? You can play classic DOS games on archive.org and so forth because people figure out a way to get around it, right? So there is that.
Exactly.
Let's see. SSJ100 Matt says, folks hyped PS1 through 4 backwards compatibility on 5, even though Sony never really said that they were. Guilty. But I guess maybe after seeing Sony sell PlayStation 1 and 2 games on PlayStation 4, and so you knew it worked, you kind of hoped it would be there, but all right, fine. Anyway, let's see. Some other comments on backwards compatibility.
It's a nice thing. You know, mm-hmm. I'd say it's not entirely a major requirement, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah,
but it's nice. I think it's something that they do to keep their user base loyal.
Sure.
That's my thought.
No One Special 77 in chat says, even if you have the older systems, there are folks that want backwards compatibility because they'd rather have one machine that plays both newer and older stuff rather than multiple systems hooked up, which can lead to a clusterfuck of wires. That is me. I would love nothing more. Actually, you know what I think one of the coolest systems ever was? And Dark Soccer did a spotlight on it years ago when there was the classic system of the month, but it was that Panasonic Cube that did GameCube and DVDs. So you could, or was it DVDs or something? But so you could have it all in one. So I would love nothing more than like a play Xbox Switch that does everything. I would love that. I know it's not going to happen, but.
Or what was, we have the, oh God, what is it? That player that also plays the Genesis games?
Bleem.
Bleem. You know, I still have my Tekken Bleem. Actually, I got all the Bleem casts. I wonder if, like, I could get a dollar for it.
I don't even know if you could get that. Let's see. Bobby says, I have a Bleem t-shirt still and a sticker. Wow. Let's see. Questbuster says, I managed to get a splitter that allowed my Nintendo and Sega consoles to share an RF adapter. It was great, but the back of the TV was like Elder God tentacles. and Breakman says, I dream of a future with no cables. It's coming. It's coming because now a lot of the Bluetooth can send a lot of that stuff because Alan will watch Twitch on his phone and he beams it to the TV. There's no native Twitch app on the TV, so he watches Twitch from his phone on the TV and he does that through like Bluetooth. So, I mean, I don't know if
that being said, the item to which you're streaming must also be capable of the same quality of the device you're streaming from.
Sure. Oh, yeah, of course, of course. And I don't know if, like, lag and everything. It's like it's one thing for movies and TV. It's another when you're actually playing a game, especially, like, a music-based game or something. Lag.
It's okay. We'll just invent a concept like reverse latency, and you know, or inverse latency, okay. As Google put out.
Okay. So the lag may not allow for it yet, but I would say that technology is absolutely in our lifetimes, that we're going to have a game console top of the line that doesn't have wires. Well, it's going to have to plug in. So, well, maybe not. Maybe not. It would just sit on a wireless charging thing or so. Maybe not. I would say within our lifetimes.
Have TVs that actually are powered wirelessly. Yeah. It's very similar to those wireless chargers, but for a longer distance. So it is possible. It's just not entirely feasible yet.
That's the only way I charge my phone anymore is wirelessly, because I got a dock for my car. My sister gave me a thing she bought and she couldn't use, and it was actually perfect for my car. So, and it uses the wireless. You just pop it into the thing and you don't have to plug anything in or whatever. It uses the wireless charging technology, so that way it's very easy to get in and out of there. And then even when I'm charging at home, I just, right by the bed, I have a little wireless pad, bloop, plop my phone on there, and it charges overnight. Perfect. So, I mean, we're getting there. The Breakman says, I mean, no wires, not even power cables. It's a future I dream of. Well, maybe not in 5 years, but I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. Anyway. All right. Any last thoughts on the Ubisoft and the backwards compatibility issue? I hope it's what I theorized a moment ago, is that Ubisoft does not have the latest version of the emulator that Sony has. I'm going to really hope it's that, and that it's just a miscommunication, but we'll find out in,
I guess, yeah,
like 10 days, right? We'll
exactly.
See. All right. Well, let's move on to a segment called How Was Your Gaming Week? And we'll start off with Dark Sakura. First off, since we had technical difficulties at the top of the show, I didn't really get to catch up with you, Dark Sakura. But you mentioned that your voice was kind of iffy, so you've been a little bit under the weather, right?
Well, remember that massive headache I had last week?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It was the start of pneumonia.
Joy.
And by the way, I am getting a little bit of lag on the line, but we've had some crap going on with our internet this week.
Oh, yikes.
So, yeah, I went in having that really nasty headache, and it hasn't quite gone away. It's just hung out sort of like pressure on the back of my neck and on my head. And I started developing a little bit of a cough, and it felt like my sinus infections normally do. And I have chronic sinusitis. So, I mean, that's just saying something. Mm-hmm. And so I talked to my doctor and I gave her my symptoms. And she's one of the few that has accepted that my body temperature dropped after I lost all that weight. I actually am, my normal is in the 97.4 range. So when I said that I hit regular normal, she's like, that's a fever for you. Okay. And so as it went, she had me have a COVID test, which I'd already had one at work, but I didn't have the results. And I don't know about those mail-in ones, you know?
Yeah.
But both of them came back negative.
That's good.
The one at Kaiser, well, this is my medical provider, but they also included the influenza. So I don't have the flu. So yay. But excuse me. But my symptoms didn't get better. And actually starting yesterday, they got a good bit worse. And I've had to use my asthma inhaler more than I like to. So, I called the advice nurse, this morning. They booked me in with, urgent care, video, which is kind of cool that they're doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And the lady's like, she was so funny, this doctor, when she looked at like my allergies and the sicknesses that I'd had this year, she flat out said, Jesus Christ, girl. So and I was like, right. And, you know, I said, you know, I feel like I've got my cat sitting on my chest, except I'm vertical. So she's like, uh-oh, yeah. So she's put me on some stuff, which I'm on prednisone. I'm going to be a bitch this week.
Just this week? Just teasing you. Just
I'm gonna
teasing
go
you.
Go to your house and
cough on me.
Run off with Mr. Smoosh.
Well, at least I know it's not, you know, you're COVID negative, which is weird because you're describing all of these symptoms that really sound like COVID, but it's, you know, it's not.
And She does want me, however, to stay indoors as much as possible to treat it like COVID, because not necessarily that I'm contagious, because I am not contagious, but more that it puts me at a higher risk.
Mm.
And I want to say enough. Anybody out there, if you have a cold, if your allergies are really nasty, and I am not saying this, I'm not a doctor, don't take this as medical advice, but it has been advised that you take extra precautions when being around other people and consider shelter in place.
Yeah.
Even if your area doesn't require it.
Well, and I remember that was a big thing. Remember when swine flu hit us all at OLR? Is that
I gave you swine flu.
Yeah. Loki, did you get it, or did you get swine flu and we all got it? No, so somehow you didn't get it.
I did.
So, okay. So,
I don't know if I actually gave you swine flu, and if I did, I'm sorry, but it's still funny.
It's whatever at this point, you know, I'm still here to tell the tale. It's one of those things where, and the reason why I bring it up is I remember a big thing with that is you really had to protect yourself. And I remember when they pulled me out of work for a week, even though I was feeling fine at that point, like the symptoms were long gone, but it was all about, it wasn't about me giving it to other people. It was about secondary complications coming into me because, you know, I was teaching classes of 30 adults at the time, and you could easily catch something that could have made it a lot worse. So,
well, and you know, I didn't even have any idea that I had it until you got it, because you were pretty much the only other person that I had hung around.
Yeah.
And I don't know where I got it from. I mean, I went to, you know, back when they were still open, I went to Sam's, the kosher deli.
Yeah. And, well, it was years and years ago, so who knows?
Yeah. It was just one of those things. And now it's like, because it can stay airborne for so long and they're learning so much more about it. And I say that they should have been paying attention to the mask culture in Japan and other Asian countries, because they have the right idea. When you're sick, you wear the mask because you don't want to share it. And you know, hey, people at work used to give me weird looks that if I had a cough, I was always wearing a mask, but no one around me would get sick.
I thought that would be one of those things, like when they talk about the new normal, what it looks like after COVID's over. I thought our culture would kind of adopt that take where, like, yes, you wear a mask if you're sick, but now we have this whole problem, and I don't want to go down this path here tonight, but you all know there's the anti-mask movement,
entitlement,
and that whole thing, right? So I don't know if that's really going to be there or not, but I don't know, it's going to be interesting. Speaking of COVID, though, I will say real fast, and I will thank again, you guys know I'm on the last episode of OLR, Shane was here, so I'm sure some of y'all are curious how he is doing, and you know, if he's in chat, please speak up, you can speak for yourself, sir. Last I talked to him, he's doing a lot better, so that's yay, good news. But he does say some symptoms are still lingering. I think he said it was like, I'm at 85%, and the doctor says that some of these symptoms can go on for a long time. Like, he might be short that 15% for months, which is really unfortunate. But I believe he has said to me something along the lines of he'd rather have that than a hospital visit. So, and I imagine if I had COVID, my take on that would be very, very similar. So, interesting take on the mask thing in chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. SSG100 Matt says, I for sure want to wear a mask at conventions. ACDEF says, yeah, with the swine flu, it was more about getting worse by catching something else. And I think I've talked about this several years ago, but I actually lost a friend, and she was only 24, and I did lose her to swine flu. It was a very different situation from what we're dealing with now with COVID. But she caught it very early. She was in with the whole thing. She was in Vegas for a mutual friend's 21st birthday. And look, y'all know what happens in Vegas on people's 21st birthdays. I don't got to get into detail, but it would be very easy to probably catch something. But what happened to her is that, you know, she had swine flu. She was the first person in the entire county where we live to have it. And then she caught something secondary, and that's what, and it was so early on that they didn't really, I don't think they knew that that's what was happening, and that's why people were passing. And then by the time, so that was, she actually passed on the anniversary of this show, June 23rd. So not to be a downer, but it's the reality of the situation. But by the time,
I've lost friends with COVID.
Yeah. Yeah. By the time October came around, which I think was the time frame you and I got it, maybe it was October, it was like doctors knew what to do. They knew to give out the Tamiflu to prevent a secondary infection. They knew what to do better. And that's what's made this whole COVID thing a little bit scary, is that they really still aren't sure how to treat it. And I think some people had a lot of hope when, you know who, the big one, got, you know, COVID and had that whole Regeneron thing. But now they're even saying, it just came out this week, Regeneron is probably not, like, they canceled the trial of that or put it on hold or something. It's probably not what they thought it was. So that's what made that they still don't really know how to treat it. And that's an issue. Yeah. So
well, anyway. The thing that people like my mother don't seem to understand is that, like, oh, they keep putting out something new every day. Well, that's fucking science.
Yeah, that's science.
When science finds out that it's wrong, it does the opposite of what all of these anti-masker people do and actually learns and puts out new evidence and says, hey, we were wrong about this. Stop doing this. Here is the right thing. It's integrity. Science has to have that kind of integrity to be what it is. I mean, it's always changing. I mean, like, you know, I'm trying to think, like, 20 years ago, we thought dinosaurs were big lizards. And now we know they're giant chickens.
Yes. I mean, imagine living in a time frame when you realize, thanks to science, that this whole time the Earth is actually round. It's now been scientific. Of course, some people still haven't figured that out, I suppose. But for the most part, we all agree the Earth is round because science has proven that, right? So, you know, you're right. Science does change. We find new things. You know, the periodic table of elements. Sometimes we find new elements. It's exciting.
Exactly. All right. I mean, it's certainly not the thing that we had in science class and, you know, back in the day when we were, you know, before I was so decrepit.
Yeah. All right. Anyway. It's not to be too tangenty, but it happens here on OLR sometimes. Back to gaming weeks. Let's talk about our gaming weeks. Darksakura, how was your gaming week?
Well, of course, there was Animal Crossing, but I did a completely different kind of game.
Ooh.
Yeah. And hey, if you can talk about Survivor, I can talk about Gish.
Shout out to Karen if she's still out there.
Yeah. So Gish is the... it stands for the Great International Scavenger Hunt, and it was arranged by Misha Collins, who played Castiel on Supernatural, who is honestly a very decent human being, a really, really good person.
I think that show's been on since they thought the Earth was flat, right? That show's been on forever.
3 episodes left, Rob.
Okay. It's been on forever. I'm not, like...
Stop making me want to cry.
I'm sorry, but it has been on forever. It's a nice long run.
No, even if they're like, we could just keep doing this, or we could stop on a high note. So, yeah. But at any rate, and this one was a mini hunt. It was just over a weekend, but usually it's over a whole week, and you're given a list, and they add stuff to the list during the week too, just to keep challenge going. But you're awarded certain points for certain crafting things, right? So, and now that the thing is over, I can actually show some of the things I worked on.
Just real quick, I'm going to step away. I have to deal with a smush situation. I'll be right back. Okay. Sorry, guys.
Naughty, naughty smush.
Keep talking and move on to Loki if I'm not back in time.
All right. So basically, what I, you know, it's different crafting things. Sometimes it's baking. Sometimes it's makeup. A lot of the different things in there are going to be things like charity work. Like one of the things on there that I desperately wanted to do was get my neighbors to contribute food to a food bank so that I could deliver it and do a picture of me delivering it. But I have the Lurgy, so that was out. So, you know, they're like, I have some pictures up here and I'm going to go ahead and link them in the chat room, but it's on my Twitter at Darksakura, S-A-K-U-R-A. So one of the challenges was to make a gory pastry so that when you cut it, it oozes blood. And so I made little strawberry hand pies, but I had like a rehydrated strawberries from freeze-dried strawberries so that they kind of had this gummy texture to it. And I have that seeping out of the little pocket pie. And then another one had to be a villain from a horror movie cutting out coupons at the kitchen table. So I did Sadako.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, you should see the pictures. And I'll put up my other one because I misread that it had to be at the kitchen table, so I had to redo my initial picture. But Dan took one of me in front of a static TV. So that was pretty funny. But yeah, this one I had to do by myself because he wasn't here. So it's one of my black wigs backwards and wearing like the leftovers from my Project Nunway outfit. And then, you know, I had to pull some junk mail out to do it. And then another one was if you have a friend that lives far away, it's doing it like a cheer up jar for their mental health. And Becky moved really far away from me. I mean, I have a difficult time getting out to see her. So I took these little Maneki Neko cards that I had and put like a different, you know, like, hey, remember to breathe, drink your water. On my picture, I have Ugh is a valid emotion. Another one says, make today your bitch, you lovely hurricane. I added in some chocolate and some of those C's lollipop minis. And there's also another letter in there that's like the open on a really, really terrible day. And since Becky did come over last night, since I wasn't, you know, contagious or anything, I was able to give it to her in person. And another one was...
I didn't know she moved. You said she moved?
Well, yeah, she moved out to Carmichael.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, but for me, where I am, that's...
Yeah.
That's a slip. She bought her grandparents' house.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So the other one, instead of Elf on a Shelf, we did Ghoul on a Stool. And since ghouls look like humans in the Supernatural universe, I took one of my ball-jointed dolls and put her in a chair on a stool holding a knife. So, I mean, those are some of the examples. You know, I also wrote a Black Lives Matter haiku that I'll put that up as well. I did it, you know, and I made it look like one of those inspirational quote things. So, but yeah, it's really good. Like one person did like, they had this like the Gish Mystery House type of thing. And it started off with Misha and his son West at the Winchester Mystery House, you know, doing a flashlight tour with clues. And one of the big clues was like another thing that we had to do. And it was like using like code 13, but then on different lines and everything. It was pretty cool. So someone had to build an expansive mansion in honor of the Winchester Mystery House out of gingerbread. And someone did it. And I was actually on the live call where one of these people presented it. It was absolutely amazing. But I mean, it's like worth 130 points. The biggest thing that I did was a video of myself casting a spell to revive my inner child. That, of course, didn't work because my inner child never died. So it's really good. And, of course, he's also on the board for randomacts.org. And so they have, like, a fundraiser right now through GoFundMe to change a life. And so, of course, challenges involve donating to that and getting 10 other people not in your team to donate to that. I was on a team, by the way. Me doing a team effort. Go fig. But it was really good. It felt good to do something. And on top of that, it was all perfectly socially distant friendly. It was little ways for people to be a part of things. Now, when you sign up for it, you have two tiers. There is a $19 tier that's just, you know, do the hunt. You're buying into it. And that, you know, it's a fundraiser. It's for a good cause.
Right.
I actually, since this is going to be my first one and, you know, I wanted to do something really good, I did the $99 tier.
Oh.
Well, because I also got bonus and reasons. I just
have. You don't have to just, it's your money. Spend it how you want.
Yeah, but most of the time I don't have that to do. So it was really, it felt really good to do it. And I'm going to get like a bunch of goodies in the mail. So whatever. Nice. It was. I got to meet new people. I have two new Facebook buddies out of it. And it's people all over the country and the world, really, who are coming together for a common cause, to have fun together, and ultimately to be kind. And that, to me, and it's something that they've been quoting from Biden is that, you know, and I'm not trying to sway anybody, but... In voting, empathy is on the line. The character of the nation is on the line. And if we can start individually, each one of us just doing different little kind things during the day, you know, even if it's, you know, telling a stranger they have a cute shirt, you know,
but 6 feet away.
At 6 feet away, yes. Or, you know, like today when I was leaving the pharmacy to get my meds, there was a security guard just sitting by herself, kind of forlornly looking out the window. And I stopped across the desk, you know, it was actually a good 6 foot distance. And I just asked her how she was doing today. Hope she had a great rest of her weekend, you know, and she lit up. And for some people, that's all it takes. Yeah. You know, if you have an elderly neighbor in your neighborhood, you know, bake cookies and take it to them unless they're diabetic, and then bring them chicken. But there's different things that you can do. And I absolutely suggest checking out randomacts.org and checking out Gish. It's just, I think it's gish.org, G-I-S-H. But definitely check them out. Run by amazing people, all of them. And it's a lot of fun. And you get awesome. To, you know, flex your creative muscles. And the community is just really, really supportive and really wonderful. Even if you're on a different team, people who did the hunts in previous years will give you great advice. They're absolutely amazing. And then at Animal Crossing. That's my favorite.
Of course. All right, Loki. How about you?
And I did play Pirates of the Caribbean pinball finally.
Oh, where at?
It's pretty at my house.
Oh, not lucky. Nice.
Dan sold a few tables for it. So.
Ah, okay. Nice.
And we just picked up Monster something. I don't think it's one of the Elvira ones. I think it's Monster Mash or something. So we just got that anyway.
Okay. All right, we'll move on to Loki. Loki, how was your gaming week?
Non-existent really, because like I said, I've been working on my game mostly. I did play a little bit of Orna, but that's pretty much it. It was just that. But yeah, I really wish I could tell you what I was working on. Have video already, but can't show you. So I'm sorry.
Why not? I'm starting to get on Bobby's side with this. Why not? The only person stopping that is you.
That's where you're wrong. So.
Oh, okay. Huh. Interesting. All right. All right. Well, so you've been working on your game. We're waiting for that. All right. So my gaming week. So a lot of stuff that I usually play. You know, I was out doing Ingress. I was doing my cemetery creeping today, and I realized pretty early on today was a bad day to do the portal scanning because, oops, today also happens to be Dia de los Muertos. And so the cemetery I went to, because my genius ass picked a Catholic cemetery today, it was very crowded. And so there wasn't a lot of portal scanning to be done because while I will creep at the cemetery, I'm not going to totally creep at the cemetery. So there's that. ACTEFT is clarifying it is tomorrow, and today is the Day of All Saints. Thank you. I suppose because it is still the weekend here, there's probably a lot of people that are using today. You know what I mean? So that whole thing. So, all right. So let's see. So I did that, and I was playing Pokemon Go, and I was getting infuriated by a quest line because there's a quest line that you have to get 9 nice throws in a row. And you would think that isn't too hard because that's when the circle is full size.
Not too bad.
It was
not great.
Try it. Because it's because what happens is that the monster will jump or it'll move, and so you thought you had a nice throw and then it gets away. So I complained on Twitter, and what do you know? Complaining on Twitter works. And what I mean is somebody told me how to cheat, and it works. And I'm not going to apologize for it because that task was impossible. So y'all want to know how I cheated? Okay.
Yes.
Of course you do. Okay, so here's the deal. To get 9 nice throws in a row, you want to build up a streak on your own like 4 or 5, but here's what you do. Once you get to about 5, tap on the Pokemon you're going to catch, enable airplane mode, make your throw. If you get a nice throw, turn airplane mode off and reconnect. If you don't get a nice throw and you botch it, close the app immediately without turning airplane mode off. It worked. I got my 9 nice throws in a row. And I was so mad because I had a streak going. I was on like 8. But what happened is that when I went to swipe to turn, because I do the quick swipe to turn on airplane mode and that whole thing. When I did that swipe, you know what happened? I threw the Pokeball instead.
Oh,
and it
went
floop. And I was like, motherfucker. And of course, it broke my streak because I wasn't able to turn on airplane mode. I accidentally threw the damn ball. So I was punished for cheating, okay? I was punished once. But then I got it, and cheating worked. Yay. All right. So let's see. There was that. And then the other big news in my gaming world, I got my 4K TV on Friday. So I have a brand new TV. And so I was firing up some old games. Although I kind of realized, like, okay, on the PlayStation 4 Pro, there actually aren't a ton of 4K games. There's a sizable amount, but not a ton of stuff that, like there's stuff like in there like Call of Duty that I don't really play. But Tetris Effect is in there. So that was the first game I played in 4K was Tetris Effect. And I will say it was a lot like sharper, and I think I'm probably noticing the HDR stuff more because the colors are a lot more vibrant than what I remember from before. And it's not, and I wouldn't say it's like a huge upgrade. It's not like going from standard definition to high definition. Remember how that all blew our minds the first time? It's not quite that big of an upgrade. But I was still pretty I was like, okay, this is cool. And plus my new TV is 5 inches bigger, and when it comes to TVs, size is everything. Like, that 5 inches made a big difference. So I was pretty impressed with that. So yeah. And Bobby Blackwell says, if you have God of War or Horizon Zero Dawn, those are the PS4 Pro showcase games to me. Horizon Zero Dawn is on my list to look at this week. I was like halfway through the game and then I stopped, so I'd probably have to start over because that's just how I play things. But I want to check that one out. But I am really excited for Xbox Series X coming soon, where now everything will be in 4K and the frame rate. And I'm just really looking forward to that. But that caused me to play, like, did you know Sonic Mania is in 4K? I actually played that. And yes, it in all its great retro pixelated glory, 4K glory. It was cool. And then what else did I play? Velocity 2X. I just randomly came across again. I just wanted to hear the music, so I played the game again. And one other thing I will mention, I don't always like to base my decision of a game off the demo, but it's the second time I'm doing it in less than a month. Because remember, I played that Kingdom Hearts Melody of Memories demo, and it's not good. Sorry. It's not good. Bobby Blackwolf does this on his show. He based Ni No Kuni. He did that off that demo. So if Bobby can do it, I can do it. And so there's another game I played this week where I'm like, I don't know if I want to play this based off the demo. And this is really going to surprise you. You guys ready for it? Hyrule Warriors Calamity Age is not great. Sorry about it.
It's as good as it would normally be on it's the dinosaurs. I mean, it's as good as it normally is. My kids love it.
It's not, like, the frame rate is not great. The pop-in is really bad. The textures are not, like, and it just, like, honestly, when I was playing it, I was like, the original was more interesting to me when I was experiencing that for the first time. Yikes. I don't know if that's limitations of the Switch. The game may not be fully optimized yet either. I don't know. I did appreciate that they're trying to do new things to it. It is very tied into Breath of the Wild and that lore, and it's very, very obvious.
I want it for the lore.
I don't think I can justify dropping $60 on it on release. So, uh-oh. So, yeah, so in chat.
I will be picking it up because as of right now, my son is still playing. He's been playing it for like the last hour or two on TV. So, and yeah, I'll probably pick it up.
You know what? You can disagree with me. That's fine. You know what? I played Ni No Kuni and I liked it. So sometimes we're going to disagree with opinions, and you will probably enjoy. There will be many people that will enjoy Hyrule Warriors and disagree with my opinion. Well, I was just not. The demo did not excite me like I thought it would.
And to be fair, the whole Dynasty Warrior series has kind of gone down since 9. They've gotten really sloppy and like it's just all over the place. So I heard the first Hyrule Warriors was pretty good. So I mean,
it is. I enjoyed it. Maybe, I played a lot more of that game than you guys would think.
I don't know. Maybe it's just a demo. Maybe it's early, and that's why you would want to. I would think you'd want to put your best foot forward. But
you'd think
it's in Tecmo Koei, and they just do whatever they want. But I don't know. Well, I'll probably pick it up either way. My kids don't care.
All right, that's fine. You know what? And you know what? I liked a lot of crap games when I was a kid, too. I still stand by Friday the 13th on NES. It was a good game, damn it. All right. But that's my kid talking. All right. Let's move on. Let's talk about other stuff. So that's it for our gaming weeks. I don't really have a lot of like housekeeping or other announcements. No time off for the foreseeable future. No time off for anybody. No, but I mean, you know, the holidays are not on Sundays this year and so forth. I don't know. I don't have any out of town trips planned. Cause you know, with the pandemic and all, it's, not something we're doing very often. So there's that. So we'll move on. Let's get into what's going on in the gaming world right now. And we'll start with Loki, who's going to talk about other Nintendo stuff.
Yes. Direct. So, we had a Direct Mini, this week, and they talked about some new games coming to the Switch and some, mini, announcements here. So, of course, one of the things they talked about was the Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity free demo, which is out now. Check it out. Game comes out on the 20th. And one thing that was kind of interesting that they also talked about, which we didn't really get so much over here, but it was definitely a thing that's been in Japan and other regions, is cloud streaming. So Control is now out on the Switch via cloud streaming. Assassin's Creed Odyssey came out in Japan like that, where you could play the game via cloud streaming because the hardware itself can't really handle running the actual game. But it is interesting to see this being offered for yet another game. I would hope that we'd see more kind of come that way. They showed off some more of Immortals Fenyx Rising running on the Switch. They talked about Bravely Default, which is now coming out February 20th. 26, Bravely Default 2, I should say. Mm-hmm. Story of Seasons is getting a sequel on the Switch. Story of Seasons Pioneers of Olive coming out March 23rd. They talked about No More Heroes 3, which is going to be coming out sometime next year. And then also No More Heroes 1 and 2 are out now on the Switch. So that was kind of a surprise announcement as well. Hitman 3 is also going to be coming to the Switch, also with that cloud streaming. So that's also very interesting. A game made by HAL Laboratory called Part-Time UFO, which I believe was a port of a mobile game, is coming out soon. I think it's already out. And what else? Tropico 6 coming to the Switch, getting port for that. Surviving the Aftermath coming spring 2021. That's also another port. And then Grifflands sometime next summer is when that's coming out.
And so, and they said this is the last one of the year, right? So there's no more announcements for 2020 after this. So, and in fact, correct, a lot of this stuff was for 2021. So that's it. So I got to say, Nintendo's holiday is, I mean, and we knew this was going to be the case, but Nintendo's holiday is looking a little thin. But I don't think that's going to stop the Switch from selling. And I think with the pandemic and everything going on, it's A, understandable, and B, I think they're going to be fine. I think they're still going to sell a ton of Switches, just people that want to get an extra one or a new one for their household so they can play Animal Crossing for the first time, or the impressive library of games that Switch already has. So I don't think Nintendo's exactly going to struggle, but I think there's a lot of fans that are like, oh, I was hoping for something a little bigger than maybe, you know, a new Hyrule Warriors and some Wii U ports. Oh, and a new Pikmin, I guess, just came out this week, but that's also not for everybody, right? So
yeah.
All right,
how many Pikmin releases can we really have? I mean, come on, give some of the other series some love. F-Zero,
Earthbound. All right, but I would say that the Control thing was pretty surprising, and the cloud gaming, have they, I guess they have done that here in the U.S. right? One of the Resident Evils they did on the cloud gaming, didn't they?
But yeah, 7, I thought, or yeah, 7, didn't they bring that? I thought that was,
see,
in,
I can't remember. Some are only in Japan, and I know that this has been a thing in Japan for a little bit because we were kind of commenting on it that, like, oh, that's interesting, and I wonder when they'll bring that over here. Well, here we go. Now we're seeing it with Control. Okay, so Bobby is confirming this is the first time that the U.S. has had streaming for Switch. So I'm crossing the wires in my head, and I gave the Resident Evil thing a U.S. release when it didn't actually have one. But I do want to say, Dark Tetsuya was talking about that demo of Control, saying it's only the first 15 minutes, but it seemed to play just fine. But that's actually really good, because that also kind of lets you gauge, is this going to work for me or not? And so you can kind of see if that cloud, I actually think that's a really cool thing that they did to do that demo to allow you to see, is streaming going to work for you?
So I wonder how far away are we from xCloud support on the Switch?
You're not the first to suggest that. I would be so curious if that is really a thing. I know Microsoft would do it. I know they would, but would Nintendo? That's the huge question mark. We'll see. Orange Wright in chat says, I did try it out a little bit just to see if it would work on my connection. It did. They've been doing cloud games in Japan, Assassin's Creed, one of them. That comment again from Orange Wright in our chat over at twitch.tv/evolgnetwork. So the cloud gaming thing is very interesting, and you're right. It's going to open the door to other things. I mean, you say xCloud, but we could also maybe have Luna on the Nintendo platform. We could have... Stadia, LOL. Maybe. Why not? Tell me. I can think of more reasons why yes than why no, especially from a technical perspective at this point. So we'll see what happens. It'll be very interesting. I'll be curious if Nintendo wants to adopt this streaming thing in their own games. That's what I'm really curious about. We'll see.
Like offer them on other platforms outside of the Switch?
No. Deliver other technical experiences and other things via cloud-based gaming, like allowing them to push what the system can do even further through the cloud. Perhaps when Switch Pro becomes a reality, that a person with a regular Switch could still experience Switch Pro games thanks to the magic of the cloud. I it's a tall order from Nintendo, who sometimes seems to lag behind. But Nintendo also has this random ability to get these random things right on the money. For example, making a bang-up AR game that's a really impressive show of the technology with that Mario Kart game. Who would have thought Nintendo
cool,
would do it?
But
okay,
I have a feeling it's going to go the way of the Labo. Like it's fun for a while, and then you stop playing it. And that's
well, that's
Labo,
the whole reason
like,
I didn't get it. I knew it would be fun for 5 minutes, but that's it. But you have kids. Don't you think the kids will be into it longer?
No.
Okay, fair enough.
Because they don't want to set it up. So it's fun, and I'm sure they'd still want to play it once in a while, but it's like it's not really engaging. It's not like something that they would want to come back to all the time. They have trouble like setting it up. They don't know how to like unfold the gates and everything, but I mean it's cool. I think it's gonna get pushed by the wayside eventually. At least it folds down to a very small package, and not unlike the Labo stuff, which is just littered all over my house. I think I have thrown away some of the VR stuff because it's just like I'm not gonna play it.
Darksucker, I'm sorry, what were you saying about Mario Kart? You jumped in there with something I wanted to...
I didn't say anything about Mario Kart.
Oh, what did you... Oh, okay. I missed it. Sorry.
I just said hard same.
Oh, okay.
I was agreeing with y'all.
Got it.
With you about not buying Labo because we knew it was going to be a waste.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on. Let's talk about things besides just Nintendo. Kind of a follow-up, I guess, to another issue that's been going on with the whole Twitch and the copyright crackdown and so forth. We're seeing more and more games allow you to turn the music off or disable that element of the game so that you can get around those types of issues on Twitch. And the game in question is FIFA 21. Now, this is notable because, if I'm not mistaken, FIFA 21 is the biggest game in the world, right? In the world, okay? Because remember, Madden is like a very U.S.-based thing. When we consider the world, it's about soccer, and that's where FIFA is really king of that. So FIFA 21 is going to allow you to disable music to avoid the copyright infringements. There was a title update that went out. So it wasn't actually in the game to begin with because the game already came out. But they didn't update.
How is that not in the game? Like, don't they have independent volume between sound effects and music? Hasn't that been a thing that's been, like, in games for decades now? Like, how is that now a notable thing? Like, I understand, like, the ability, like, what they've had, like, some games, I don't remember the particulars, but there's some games that have, like, stream safe versions where it's like
so
music that
let me
not licensed music.
Loki, let me jump in because I think I want to make sure I clarify this. So there's actually a picture of the settings menu I'm looking at, and there are options for menu sound effects volume, menu music volume. So you can do that, but this option is specifically disable all music for streaming purposes. So my thought is there is probably a score of sorts in FIFA 21. Like there probably is incidental music, background music, and so forth that is still in the game that does not get removed when you do this. So this is specifically for, and it is interesting that it calls out, and it even shows the option with the text at the bottom, streaming or recording FIFA. This setting disables all music to avoid copyright infringements. So there is that. So, but I will say, Loki, to your argument, the slider bar is also still there. So, Bobby in chat says they use the licensed music for in-studio sounds, in-stadium sounds, rather. This disables that. Orange Wright says that's a really good idea. And Zen Monkey 11 says, yes, you can lower FIFA music, just lazy gamers not looking at the menu system. Orange Wright says, I know I'm thinking, if I ever play Burnout Paradise, that music volume is going all the way down. Yeah, and this is why usually when I play these types of games and I'm streaming them, which isn't very often, I will usually stick to classical music, or I will, which I has been pointed out previously. And yes, technically the classical music is also, because the recording itself is still something that is copyrightable, but that stuff tends to not trigger strikes, probably just because it is a very, it's not, you know, it's not Lady Gaga. That's reality, right? However, I also have a tendency to, when I play those games, I just keep the game audio very, very low, either through what Loki's talking about, or I just keep it so low that me talking over it constantly is just, it's going to make, you can barely even hear the music. And so I haven't been flagged, knock on wood, for anything on my personal channel. And VOG certainly didn't, but we don't really stream games on this, hardly ever stream games on this channel. So there is that. So we'll see. I heard another thing, by the way, since we're on the topic of Twitch, I heard another thing. I don't know if you guys have heard about this, and maybe Bobby in chat, because it was in Discord, but somebody mentioned that Twitch mid-rolls were suddenly back on certain streams, that mid-roll ads were popping in. Is anybody in our chat getting that tonight? Like, are ads disabled? Because I have a hunch. What's that? Because I tried to look on Twitter, like, with the tag, like, what's going on? It seems like, and I could be wrong, it seems like the people that are getting hit with those mid-roll ads are using some type of ad blocker on Twitch, or using something to try to suppress the ads on Twitch. So Twitch is kind of like one-upping it by putting these ads in a different way. So
yeah, it'll work out well for them.
Yeah. Pixel Paca says, it seems to me like some ad blockers stopped working. ActDev says, considering that like 75% of us are subbed, I'm going to say no. You're right. We are very fortunate that many of you are subscribed. Thank you for that. We're very lucky. Thank you. Thank you. But surely there's a handful of people out there who are not subbed. And I'm just curious, have you been getting mid-roll ads during the show? Because I watched a good hour and a half of Twitch the other day. I didn't see them yet, but it might just be on certain channels. I have no idea. So Dark Tetsuya says, I haven't seen any tonight watching on PS4, so I don't know how widespread it is yet. But didn't you get gifted a sub a couple weeks ago, Dark Tetsuya? You might have been. Pixel Paca says, I haven't gotten any ads so far this stream. So we'll see. I don't know. I hope it's not back, because obviously we've talked a lot about why that was a bad idea, and we did a whole roundtable on this weeks ago. If you haven't watched it yet, this is why, even though Bobby and I recorded that like the day after Twitch supposedly changed their policy, there's a lot of stuff in that that still holds true. So go check that out over on YouTube or over at vognetwork.com. So, all right. So anyhow, but as far as the current Twitch issue that we know is out there with the copyright stuff, you'll probably see more games that are doing this that will help you be able to stream on Twitch issue free. All right. Let's move on. Dark Soccer, you have something for us, right?
I do, and I had to remember that I don't no longer have my mute button on my mic. So I'm actually pretty excited about this, and Dan actually was pretty excited too. He texted me this. So Arcade 1UP is doing pinball. I mean, pinball, and you know that, you know, is the magic word for me and in my house. So they are doing a 3/4 scale pinball table, and it is going to be digital pinball. There will be 3 different ones that come with 10 different games. So to go ahead and start off with the first one, it's Star Wars Digital Pinball. Then we have Marvel Digital Pinball and Attack from Mars Digital Pinball, which I used to have an Attack from Mars. So the games that come with each set, the Marvel games pinball include Spider-Man, Civil War, Wolverine, X-Men, Thor, Marvel's Women of Power, A-Force, Ghost Rider, Venom, Fantastic Four, and Fear itself. Star Wars Pinball has Boba Fett, A New Hope, Octo Island, Battle of Mimbam, Darth Vader, Masters of the Force, Star Wars Rebels, Han Solo, The Force Awakens, and The Empire Strikes Back.
That's a lot of pinball. Now,
the Attack from Mars pinball is actually real pinball. So, it's Attack from Mars, Fishtails, The Getaway, Junkyard, Medieval Madness. I mean, right now, getting that from Medieval Madness, you know. Whitewater, which is another great one, although I'm sure it's not going to come with the topper with the fan on it. Red and Ted, Funhouse, which creeps me the fuck out. It's got like a giant head on it. The ones with heads freak me out. Tales of the Arabian Nights and No Good Gophers. Tales of the Arabian Nights, by the way, is done by John Papaduke. You know what else he did? World Cup Soccer and Theater of Magic.
Makes sense. They all have like a big thing in the middle of the table.
Oh, yeah. But Attack from Mars by itself is just a really fun one. Fishtails is okay. We used to have a Getaway, which was a sequel to... I don't remember the name of the table. I think I've covered the Getaway. I think that that was a... and I'm sorry, it's going to... Oh, it was High Speed 2. It was the sequel to High Speed. But yeah, it's really happy. No Good Gophers is a fun one. I love Tales of the Arabian Nights. Funhouse is... But it's a good table, don't get me wrong. Whitewater's fun. Medieval Madness, though. For those who don't know, Medieval Madness recently had a re-release. Well, by recent, I mean like a few years ago. We own one of the re-releases, like a special edition of the re-release. So it's missing like some of the branding on it and certain things, but it is Attack from Mars. So these tables are going to stand, though they've got a 24-inch recessed screen, so it's going to be like you're looking at it. It has a built-in accelerometer, so you can nudge and, you know, tilt if you screw up. It is roughly, I think, 3 feet tall, if I'm right. And according to Arcade 1UP, on their site, it's supposed to arrive around December 2020. All of them, it looks like they're actually going to be sold physically through GameStop and Walmart. And the Marvel one apparently is already live for order at GameStop. Now, I mean, I'm reserving judgment on the first two because clearly those are not like... But what I mean by legit pinball is that they're not based off of legit tables, right?
Right. They're the Zen pinball original creations, yeah.
Exactly. But the Attack from Mars one is, I think, the one to have if you love your classic pinball. That would be the one that we would get. We would have to move things again.
I'm tempted, but I don't have any more room for those machines. the Burger Time one was enough. What?
It's a little one.
We got to work on the house thing first. By the way, I got to do just a quick aside because people, I know you, Dark Soccer and Loki, you can't see my camera because of the intense tech rig that we have here at OLR. They can only hear my voice. They can't see me like you guys can on Twitch. But a mysterious hand just dropped this box in frame. And some folks in chat are asking, what is this? So what this is, Alan just got back from Costco and he just dropped this in front of me. This is a pack of 40 Stroopwafels, or Stroopwafels, if you will. 40 Costco-sized box of Stroopwafels. The big one. This is big. So,
okay, I'm coming over. I'm not contagious, and my COVID test was negative.
Dark Sakura's, my COVID test was negative, too, about 2 weeks ago. But yes,
we can hang out.
This is 40 cups of coffee right here.
Oh, that's coffee?
You don't have to use coffee. You could use tea or something. That is the way you're supposed to do it.
It's actual Stroopwafel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You're supposed to put it on top of a cup of coffee or, you know, whatever your hot drink is that you like. And that helps soften the cookie and the syrup that's in there. So there you go. And there's only, I'm looking at it, there's only 140 calories in one stroopwafel. So there you go. Latest Costco find from the husband. So thank you, Alan, for bringing that to my attention. And so much for any weight I was trying to lose. See ya. Anyway, sorry, Dark Sakura, but it was stroopwafels. It's important.
Cool. Yeah. Well, at any rate, though, I think that I actually already closed the article, but I think they're supposed to retail for 500.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. So. But yeah, assuming that we do end up getting one, I think that we're going to I'll definitely do something live for everybody when nice. We get ours. And by the way, Rob.
By the
if
way,
if you want to, I can send you my workout routine, which I'm still doing while I'm sick, just a lighter one because it involves my physical therapy.
You know what's interesting? So the TV,
the gun show,
the TV we got has all these built-in things, and one of them is like a health channel that has like workout videos on demand built right in the TV. And I don't know how good they are, but I like my workout videos 1980s style. I want to see those obscene like tights that people used to wear in the like the Jane Fonda workout tapes. Or I'm sorry, nothing will ever top Richard Simmons sweating to the oldies.
I used to have the Cindy Crawford workout tape.
Didn't Cher and have a workout tape at one point?
Cher does everything. She's a goddess. But this, I'll tell you this right now, that Cindy Crawford workout tape was like a kick your ass. I mean, it was hard. And the fun thing about it is that that is what got me into weightlifting.
Oh.
When I was in high school.
Love it.
And after losing the weight that I did, because I was, you know, I was powerlifting before that and was building my deadlift and I threw out my back. I've been able to completely do my workout at home. I actually wrote a blog for it, for Gen X Geeks. Just, you know, putting out like what my personal routine is, like what equipment that I have, because it was really inexpensive, just to encourage everybody. So maybe.
Chat, you guys are cracking me up. Sia Tabiri says, my grandma used to have the Angela Lansbury workout tape. What? There was an Angela Lansbury workout tape? What?
Well, I'm sure the older crowd could make use of it.
So could the gays. We love Murder, She Wrote. Come on. All right. Let's see. Sia Tabiri in chat says, my sister and I each had one of the MTV Grind tapes. Oh, God. Remember when there were shows on MTV like The Grind that was just people dancing? I mean, that goes back to like
the
70s.
Well, you know what The Grind was.
It was just
that was
Soul Train on MTV.
American Bandstand. Right. Is Soul Train still on? I think Soul Train is still on.
It might be. I think they still do make it. And in the Bay.
I know the, what's his face? Don Cornelius?
Yeah. The Bay Area had some local TV show that was a dance thing too, because Mel was on it like twice.
No, Soul Train ended in 2006.
Oh, I
but they do have like the Soul Train Awards.
Okay,
Don Cornelius still alive? He died in 2012.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, all right.
Yeah, I fucking love Soul Train. I used to watch Soul Train regularly.
Same. It was on. Like it was all that was on like Saturday morning when I was awake.
It
my
was
parents
on,
were still asleep.
Right after my cartoons. Yeah. It came on after my cartoons.
All right, let's move on. Let's move on.
Yeah.
we're running long on the show tonight. We got other topics to talk about. But I know it's hard not to get derailed by Angela Lansbury and Soul Train. Moving on. Oh, my God. I thought you were laughing, Dark Soccer, but that was coughing. I was like, what's so funny?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not funny at all.
And I felt it come. That's why I've been keeping my line muted so that I wouldn't, you know, all put good. Lungs on the air.
All right, fair enough. Loki, what's next in the gaming world?
So, because I think this bit's confusing. In fact, I was actually talking with Exifer on Twitter about it because he had purchased a PlayStation 5 with a new PlayStation 5 HD camera. I'm like, oh, what's that used for? Because I don't think that's compatible with the PlayStation VR, and that's really the only thing I use my camera for. And he's like, oh, it's only for web, you know, for broadcasting yourself on playing games and stuff. So to solve that problem, because apparently the PlayStation camera that came with the PlayStation 4 is only compatible with the PlayStation VR. And so if you want to play PlayStation VR games on the PlayStation 5. You need some way to plug it in, and since it doesn't have the proprietary connector on the back of the PlayStation 5, how are you going to do that? Well, the way you're going to do that is you go to Sony's official website and you request a free cable. And the way you do that, you have to provide them with the serial number on your PlayStation VR unit and your shipping information, and they will ship it to you for free. So it may take up to 2 weeks to get that in. That kind of sucks. Although I want to say that, like, it's something similar. They did something similar with the Kinect back in the day, because the new systems that they made, the newer, slimmer models, had the Kinect port built in, but the older original Xbox 360s did not have that. So you had to have an adapter to plug it in that you could request for free as well.
Yeah.
But still annoying that you have to do that, all these hoops to jump through. I don't understand why the new camera, especially since it's a better camera, you would think that it being a better camera might make it work better, but maybe, I guess it just doesn't, maybe it doesn't project the dot field or whatever it needs to track stuff. Just, you would think that they would support something like, I don't know, but whatever. It's a hoop you got to jump through if you want to use, you know, the PlayStation VR and the new system. And I'm still curious what, like, because I know we're getting upgrades with faster load times and all that stuff for the PlayStation 5 and playing PlayStation 4 games. I'm curious to see what kind of enhancements we get with PlayStation VR games, since I know with the Pro we had like higher resolution and more details and stuff like that. If we're going to get something similar with the PlayStation 5 as well, or if it's going to go even beyond what was offered with the PlayStation 4 Pro.
I honestly feel like, based on the comments, I guess we didn't have the related story tagged. Maybe you saw this, Loki, about the comments from the CEO on VR and how it sounds like VR is kind of on, I don't want to say it's like on hold for the minute, it sounds like. Like, they're just not really making anything for PSVR right now, and that's something they're going to revisit later on the PlayStation 5.
When they launch the PlayStation VR 2.
Yeah, which is, I mean, I don't know. I have mixed feelings on it, because I'm kind of like, well, if the PlayStation VR is, like, the number one headset right now, like, keep that train rolling. And it just kind of, like, insert another joke here about Sony really not supporting their hardware. But at the same time, X-Files poster, I want to believe that they're going to, you know, maybe focus on this part of PlayStation 5 and getting the games there for the more traditional type of media first, and then they'll kind of take a good hard look at VR later with some of the leaps and bounds that, you know, the VR technology has made, such as potentially, you know, that PlayStation 4 VR has wires, lots of wires. And we know that VR is getting more and more to a place where there's going to be a lot less, or perhaps none at all, perhaps, but, you know, we'll see what they decide to do. So Loki, I would just say, beyond the perks of loading times on the solid state drive and what the PlayStation 4 Pro could do, I wouldn't set the bar too high. Like, it's probably going to be like playing it on a PlayStation 4 Pro.
Yeah, someone needs to remind Sony that the V in PSVR does not stand for Vita, so they probably shouldn't just forget about it.
Well, and my question is, okay, so Sony wants to put it on hold, but what about third-party developers? So I guess if they're going to continue to make VR games, they're essentially making PlayStation 4 VR games,
yeah,
that would be workable through backwards compatibility. But you're probably going to see a lot of developers want to, I mean, you'll probably see less and less PlayStation exclusives and more games that are like, you can play it on PlayStation 4 VR, or you can play it on Oculus, or you can play it on, you know, HTC Vive and so forth. My assumption is, when we see the play, like, if we had gotten a PlayStation 2 VR now, it probably wouldn't look very different, or it would be really expensive. And that's a lot to ask. Put down $500 for a PlayStation 5 and another $500 for the PlayStation headset. That is a lot to ask. So I kind of understand the strategy behind, maybe we don't want to do the new VR headset this year. Let's do that in a year, or probably even better because of the pandemic and everything it's done to 2020. Let's do that in 2022. So that's my guess, is you're going to see a PlayStation VR 2 in 2022. And then at that point, it will be about, well, where is the technology for VR at that point? How is that going to work into the very consumer-friendly, you know, type of PlayStation VR system? But I think if Sony really wants us to believe that they're invested in it, I really want to see them make a game that is like for PlayStation VR 2, not something that's like enhanced or better with. I want to see that too, but I want to see him really make a game for this PlayStation VR 2.
Yeah.
And I think that will probably be something to look forward to in 2022. So from that standpoint, I do kind of get what they're doing. I mean, let's be real. If they were putting out a PS5 VR headset now, you would not want to pay for that and a PlayStation 5. You're just not. Some people would. Of course they would. But it's not going to be enough. So I understand why they're like, we're going to wait a little bit, even though they're on the top right now of the VR game. So, all right. Let's move on and talk about a company that I wish would get out of gaming altogether, but I'm a little bit biased, I suppose, and it's Facebook. Facebook is getting into cloud gaming. Why not, huh? Everybody, another company to join the party. You've got Stadia, you've got Luna from Amazon, you've got xCloud from Microsoft. Why not? Let's have Facebook in this as well. So now Facebook has launched their own cloud gaming service. But here's some. Are you going to be able to play Control, or are you going to be able to play, I don't know, Destiny or whatever the...
Farmville.
No. You can play Asphalt 9 Legends, PGA Tour Golf Shootout, Solitaire Arthur's Tale, and Mobile Legends Adventure, which is pretty much Cookie Clicker, but as a RPG or whatever. In other words, these are fairly mundane mobile games. And look, there is a time and a place for mundane mobile games. I love things like Cookie Clicker when I'm opening it for 30 seconds in the checkout line at Target or something, and then, you know, going on to whatever else is going on. As far as cloud streaming, though, okay, this is a weird thing to launch. But anyway, if you want to check it out, I guess, you could find them in the gaming section of Facebook. Oh, by the way, that's also where you'll find their competitor to Twitch and that whole thing, and where Mixer ended up pointing people to. At some point, there are going to be cloud-playable ads in your Facebook newsfeed. So in other words, if you're not opening the gaming hub enough, as you're scrolling through your Facebook feed and endlessly doom-scrolling at all the updates and so forth, you're going to see not just an ad, but an ad you can play live. So it'll be like a gaming ad you can just jump right into. Think about how that. Here's the thing. They're using it for gaming now. But think about what this is going to be when, bam, you jump right into a 3D virtual house tour, or you jump into, I mean, there's a lot of places, I think, where this technology could end up going. And that's what Facebook wants to get into, I suppose. So this service is also coming to the dedicated Facebook gaming app on Android. As we know, there is not a dedicated Facebook gaming app on iOS because the cloud gaming and iOS have not figured that out yet. Although we are seeing web-based apps as a solution, and perhaps that will come in the future. So we'll see, but nothing to say officially on that right now. So SG100 Matt says, fairly mundane, much like surfing Facebook. So there you go. ZenMonkey11 said the games sound like clone apps. Yeah, I'm not exactly jumping to reactivate my Facebook account so I can play these games. I'll say that much. So anybody going to check out Facebook gaming?
No.
Okay.
No. I block every game request thing that comes across my plate anyway. So I hate them. I don't want to game in Facebook. I don't want to play any of their shit. I don't want to give them any more money. The only reason I have a Facebook anyway still is for my sister's stuff and for the communities I'm running. So I don't want to give them any more fucking attention.
Remember when the most annoying thing on Facebook was a poke?
It's still fucking annoying.
Can you still poke people on Facebook?
Yeah, you can still poke. I was up to like 400 with one of my friends.
That's a lot of poking.
Well, long enough.
Didn't they have a thing? Wasn't there an app called Poke at some point? It was like their Snapchat competitor or something, and it's long gone. Let's see.
I don't know.
Sacred Jade in chat over twitch.tv/VogNetwork says, hard pass on Facebook gaming. I deleted my Facebook profile. Congratulations.
Well, I can't. I wish I could.
I understand. I only deactivated, and you know, I may go back as, especially you know, after the election, I might be able to tolerate it again. We'll see.
I'm practically living on Twitter these days. When I was like pretty much like a not Twitter person.
Twitter is just it is. I get why Twitter is really annoying, but yeah, Twitter is so much more curatable if you know how to do it. Because people get really annoyed when it's like, oh, you get your default Twitter feed that shows every. But once you learn how to really curate Twitter and make it work for you, it's, oh my God, it's great. Now, it's not a perfect platform.
I just look at my life feed anyway, and then I check the people I care about.
Yeah. ZenMonkey11 says, I want MySpace back. Love the Twitter. So funny in there. I want MySpace back too. I want to have, you know what? I'm sick of this disagreeing on politics.
MySpace
and
is still there.
That whole thing. I want the fights to be about why aren't I in your top eight? That's the fights I miss on MySpace. Jamie, did you have me in your top eight on MySpace? I hope so.
You know, as a matter of fact, I did.
I'm pretty sure I had you there too. I think that was right. That was right around the time OLR launched. So I think I had to have you and Loki in the top eight on MySpace.
I'd have to look for my account again, but I know that it was you and Jessica and Matt and
you know what?
I think my friend Risa.
OLR had a MySpace. I know it did because we had clips of the show. I'm talking like early ass fucking clips of the show on our MySpace page. So I doubt it's there anymore. I don't know. Good luck to you if you can find it.
From a top eight spaces.
Yeah.
Pie to 1,000 pieces.
All right. Anyway, let's move on. Oh boy. Let's follow up Facebook with a political story. But this was a lot softer, right, Darsakra?
Yeah. I mean, and it's just kind of a little thing. Basically, in Fortnite, Joe Biden has a map. And might have covered this in the past that there was one with Animal Crossing. There was an Animal Crossing town dedicated to the Biden campaign.
I remember that.
And I vote blue, but I'm a socialist at heart, and I am so in my heart happy to see that it, you know, people embracing video games to reach that audience. They know who their people are, while the GOP is still like, get off my lawn, meh. But anyway, there's a Fortnite map dedicated to the Biden campaign and to Kamala Harris. And there's like different like TV monitors in there that have like different things like Build Back Better, no, and like this one screenshot here in the subway, like there's no malarkey station in Harris Highway and all of that. But the map is called Build Back Better with Biden. And it's supposed to educate young voters on what the Democratic Party stands for. It takes you on like this adventure through this reboot city, where you can stay on like this island, and you have many quests to do, and you have to collect Kamala's sneakers and check out Joe's ice cream shop, and so it is pretty cool. The code to get to this is 0215-4511-1823. It is pretty much, you know, it's focused on Biden's campaign and education, but it's a good idea. It's the type of thing, it's, you know, like what AOC was doing with her live streaming,
yeah.
You know. And by the way, if anyone is interested for the Animal Crossing one in the Biden HQ island, dream address code is 7286-5710-7478. You know, DA first, of course, because it's a dream address.
Now, I was going to say, I just want to ask like a serious question here, because obviously it's no secret that I'm team Biden on this. I mean, I was team Warren, but I'm more than happy to be team Biden when presented with the other option. And I've made it no secret how I feel about that on this program. But the hard question I want to ask is there really a point to this? Is there going to be fun to be had here because video games are supposed to be fun? Or is this obvious propaganda. Because, I mean, what made AOC's Twitch stream really, really work is that it was very organic. And it didn't feel like, even the politics that were in it did not feel forced. Her lines of don't forget to vote and talking to the British guy about healthcare in his world versus ours was that it felt very organic, and it felt very much like a Twitch streamer thanking someone for the donation or talking to friends on Discord. And I think that's why AOC's stream, whether you agree with her or not, really worked. Is Biden's going to feel organic, or is it going to feel like, okay, I just went to Propagandaville?
It's not intended to be organic, not like AOC's thing, but, you know, it's intended to, it is a campaign strat. I mean, fair and simple. In fact, with Biden's island on Animal Crossing, like the house inside is filled with like desk and campaign pamphlets and promotional material. It's been turned into a campaign office.
But
the whole thing is it gets people talking. It gets interest. Whether or not you want to go to that either location in whatever game, or whether or not you say, oh, well, you know, that's a stupid idea, or he's just, you know, pandering, you're talking about it.
Fair. And you know what the answer might be? Actually, what ultimately where this goes is because this is in the news, and, you know, they know to an extent it's going to be in the news. There are people on Twitch that will do a Twitch stream where it's like, I'm going to go visit the Joe Biden island, or I'm going to go visit the Joe Biden Fortnite map. And now they're having an organic conversation about politics on their Twitch feed. And maybe that is... It's not necessarily the map or the island or whatever it is themselves. It's maybe the conversation that it starts.
Well, and that's what I just said, that you're
talking
about.
Yes, I guess it is. Yes.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
You know, they're talking about it. It's getting it out there. And, you know, and the people are going to be like, oh, let me check the Biden thing because it's going to get me clicks.
I'm sorry. I'm laughing because a headline just scrolled by. You know how on Twitch we have the headlines at the bottom? A headline just scrolled by that said from Kotaku, bad cat. And that was the headline. I'm like, what the fuck video game is that? Bad cat. Did you guys see that?
Oh my God. Sorry. Actually, last night, one of the things I mentioned I had to do for Gish was resurrect my inner child via a spell. And Midna wanted to be a part of it. She wanted to run off with one of the G.I. Joes I still have. She wanted to run off with Snake Eyes. Just saying. I mean, I would run off with Snake Eyes, just saying. But that's Bad Cat.
Bad cat.
Well, for context, to clarify what Bad Cat actually was in the Kotaku article, it's a mod for Resident Evil that turns... I forget what the giant like zombie thing is, but turns it into...
The tyrant,
was it Tom from Tom and Jerry?
Oh God! Okay.
The tyrant.
Okay, yeah. So it is video game related. So
Mr.
it was
X.
a game related headline.
It
Who
was
knew?
Mr. X.
All right, let's move on. We're running so long tonight. It's gonna be a 4-hour
Resident
show.
Evil too.
All right, let's move on. Who's next? Is it Loki?
Yeah, it's me. So let's talk about a launch game that's getting delayed for the PlayStation 5. So one of the games they were showing off was Destruction All-Stars, which was supposed to be a launch title. Also one of those launch titles that's $70. Ooh boy, that's Sony upcharge. It is now coming out in February 2021, according to the PlayStation blog. As an added bonus as well for PlayStation Plus subscribers, it'll be available for free for 2 months for no additional costs. So you'll get it as part of PlayStation Plus. That's better than paying $70.
Yes. So it's interesting. This is very much a case of bad news. It's delayed. Good news. Most people that are, you know, probably investing this money on PlayStation early are also PlayStation Plus. So you're going to get it for free. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess the news could have been a lot worse, right?
That's true.
That's the interesting thing. Halo got delayed, but it's going to be on Xbox Game Pass. And again, chances are, you know what? If you are adopting Xbox Series X right away, you probably have Game Pass. Not everybody, but most people probably do. All right. Well, speaking of releases and games that got bumped back, you'll notice what was absent from my gaming week already World of Warcraft Shadowlands. So that was a fun week, and now we're back. and I did play a lot of Final Fantasy 11. Oops. But no, I'm. You know what?
14. Final Fantasy 14.
What did I, oh shit! I said 11, didn't I? Sorry. Yes, 14.
I was like, you're not playing 11 without me. What?
Sorry. My 2006 brain kicked in.
The mobile version finally came out.
No. Yes, Final Fantasy 14. Sorry. But anyway, yeah, I don't know. I'd be curious about the expansion. I just don't know if I'm $50 curious, but I know there's a lot of people that love their Warcraft and love their characters. And I am happy to report for all of you that Shadowlands is finally going to be coming out on November 23rd. Hey, that's a special day for Warcraft because it is the 16th anniversary of the game. Not that 16 is often a number that gets celebrated unless you're an MTV show where kids scream when they don't get the car they want. But for this sweet 16, World of Warcraft Shadowlands will finally be released. And it comes out at 3 p.m. Pacific time on that day, because they have to do it that way because people all around the world are playing this game, and you know it's going to be a world rush to who can take that boss down first. So it goes live at the same time for everybody. So that ended up being a 4-week delay, which all things considered was not a terrible delay for the game. But there's also going to be a warm-up event, whatever that means, on November 10th, where you will be able to take on a Flood of Scourge. I seem to remember when the last expansion was about to come out, there was an event like this, and it was a really easy way to gain levels fast. So I wonder if this will be a thing that's similar. I don't know, but November 10th is when the Flood of the Scourge happens. And also, there will be Season 1 of Shadowlands on December 8th. I guess that's PvP. And the first raid, Castle Nathria, will also open on December 8th, so you can take your time getting to the new level cap of 60, before you take on the raids. I actually like that they don't release that stuff right away, to be honest. So, all right. And Pod Culture points out November 23rd is also Doctor Who Day. And, you know, I imagine there's a lot of stuff kind of happening that day because it's the Tuesday before Thanksgiving, right? Thanksgiving is the 26th, right? Or 27th, something like that. So it's just days before Thanksgiving, and that's like, you know, right before the retail season kicks off. Although I'm sure Black Friday, as we know it here in the States, is going to look a lot different this year. You're already seeing stores like Best Buy and stuff are kind of like, we're going to start early and kind of push you more towards online for obvious reasons with everything going on in the world. I'm sure there will still be...
Cyber Monday is the way to do it.
Yeah, I'm sure there will still be plenty of people that are going to the store on Black Friday, but not me, that's for sure. So, and I think stores are kind of realizing they got to think outside the box a little bit, that not everybody's going to want to rush the store early that day. So, all right. Yeah. And DJRama S is kind of concurring there. Black Friday deals done started. I'm good with this. Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, let's take a trip down memory lane when if a game was delayed by 4 weeks, we didn't know about it because we got our gaming news through magazines. There was no internet. It's the classic game of the week. Every week, Dark Sakura steps into the gaming vault to define a game that she thinks, hey, you know what, brats? You should be checking out this game. Forget your newfangled Xbox Series X's and your PlayStation 5s. I want you to go back to the PlayStation 1. No, wait, I want you to go back sooner than that and check out this classic game of the week. Dark Sakura, what'd you pick for the kids tonight?
I picked an RPG that is as iconic as anything else that this company has released. I picked Romancing Saga, which came out in 1992. It is a RPG developed and published by Square. It came out for the Super Famicom. Now, it's actually the fourth game in the Saga series. And this particular one actually had like a bunch of different various releases on it. And it was a fairly, as far as some will say, is kind of a big one. This one was actually remade for the WonderSwan Color. It was done for mobile phones, and I'll be getting into that in a little bit, but this is a game that, while not many people will think of in the Saga series, it was one of the first ones that I so that's why I picked it. Anyway, you you basically follow 8 different protagonists on different quests throughout the world, and they all accumulate in a fight against the dark god Saruman. I guess that's how it's pronounced. That's always how I did it. And it's very non-linear. You do have turn-based battles, group formations, and like the other saga titles, there are no experience points. Your character attributes and skills are determined by what you do in battle. so it was, so the other saga games, this was supposed to be the new one for the Super Famicom. There have been others on Game Boy. They brought back the series creator, Kawazu Akitoshi, as the director, the designer, and writing the scenarios. And then the character designs were done by Kobayashi Tomomi, which actually is her first work that she did for the series. Music done by Ito Kenji, who also did like Final Fantasy Legend 2. So it had a really, really good design group behind it right away. So when you start off the game, you're going to choose your first protagonist, and you're going to explore the world. You know, it's free reign over everything. You know, you trigger different story points as you go through it. You have battles, side quests. And then you're going to build up your party as you go along. Some members that you can recruit are the protagonists you didn't choose. And so your progress is based on the number of the main events, your strength, who you've talked to. And it's been called the free scenario system. You encounter enemy sprites on the field. You fight with them. You have a 3x3 grid that affects how you're going to be able to interact with the enemy. There was a big remake done for it. Now, this is the big one on here. It was remade for PlayStation 2, which was subtitled Minstrel Song. It was released by Squenix in 2005. With this one, it does have the non-linear exploration, but the environments are all in 3D. And it brought in some elements from the later saga titles. When you choose your protagonist, you go through the game the same way. You have a quick save, you have hard saves in, you know, your towns where things like that are. And you customize your party, you have your character classes, and a character can lose their life points. Like your character health is a combination of your standard health and your life points, and you lose life points being knocked out enough times in a battle, and then you lose all of your life points, the game is over. So that's kind of an interesting take on it. But yeah, it did start its development in 1990, and they really wanted to go to the Super Famicom because the other saga games on Game Boy had been so popular. And actually we did get Final Fantasy Legend 3. It was Saga 3. But they really wanted it to be a particular saga game. The name Romancing actually was inspired by an American movie, Romancing the Stone. Remember that movie?
Wow, like Kathleen Turner, right?
Yeah. And the producer of the game was Miyamoto Masafumi, who was the founder and former president of Square. So the game had a pretty big release when it came out, January 28th, 1992. And it was the second Super Famicom title that Square did. It followed Final Fantasy IV, which we got, of course, this too. Mm. They did 3 guidebooks for it. It got a virtual console re-release on the Wii in 2009, Wii U in 2015, and 3DS in 2016. It was supposed to have been localized to be brought out in the U.S. It was stated by GamePro in 1993. But it never got released outside of Japan. The text translation and complexity of the game, they figured would be off-putting and not cost-effective given what they projected this to be. At any rate, in 2000, they did an enhanced version of Romancing Saga for the Wonderswan Color. Hmm. And we know that Square really loved the WonderSwan color doing this out. But it was not on Game Boy Advanced, and that's because Square and Nintendo, that was when they were having their thing when Square went to PlayStation, remember?
Oh, yes.
So all that. But they added a few new abilities, like you could dash and avoid enemy encounters, different materials, a couple of stories, changes, different side quests. And it was part of the Square Masterpiece series of classic titles for WonderSwan. It was ported to mobile platforms by Square Enix. It was based off WonderSwan port. They adjusted the graphics for mobile. It came out in 2009 for iMode phones, and then for the SoftBank phones and Easy Web, and it closed down in 2018. So then there's the PS2 remake, which was Romancing Saga Minstrel Song, and it was like rebuilt from the ground up, like I said. And the art style references the sprite design, but tried to go a little bit more like some of the Final Fantasy series. And it has like a completely different taste. It was meant to appeal strictly to, not really appeal to any particular market, just be something that's attractive overall. The game was re-released through PlayStation Network for PlayStation 3 eventually. And then a special edition that had a download code and jigsaw artwork done by Kobayashi, the designer. There was supposed to be, they actually announced a North American release at E3 in 2005, along with Dragon Quest VIII, Final Fantasy VII, and Kingdom Hearts 2. It released on October 11th. They removed a minstrel song from the title. They did some dubbing done by New Generation Pictures, who had worked with Squinix on some of the Final Fantasy and Valkyrie Profile series. And then there was a European release after that. The original title wasn't remastered because they dropped the minstrel song for us. It had really good music. I mean, I don't know how much of the video I linked to you listen to, but the music in this game is really top-notch. It's just that got that Square brilliance to it as the RPGs on the SNES that most of the RPGs we did on the SNES display. So for the Super Famicom version, it is ranked as the 5th best-selling Saga game of all time. It has sold more than 1.3 million copies worldwide, with 1.1 million, of course, sold in Japan and those others overseas. Famitsu didn't like the graphics as much as Final Fantasy IV, but they liked the system. And so Famitsu's score was 31 of 40 for Super Famicom, 32 of 40 for PS2, which, by Famitsu, not bad. Not bad at all.
And I can actually see that criticism. I mean, I never played this game because obviously it wasn't, you know, released here until you had the translation hacks and the other versions you were talking about. But I can see that criticism is that, you know, especially these battle scenes look very plain, I guess, and even the world maps, they look very plain compared to Final Fantasy II, which is what we would know it as in America, but you all know it's actually IV. But I can see that the battle system, it does seem like there's more to it. So I actually, it's interesting, just not even knowing that much about the game, but based on like what you just said, I can like kind of see that.
Yeah. And one of the things with it though, is that, American critics kind of panned the battle system in it because they thought it was too complex. But I mean, I liked it. You know, when I played a little bit of it, you know, back on my, you know, fan translated emulation days, it's a solid game with a solid story. But moving forward, of course, it proved to be so popular and influential that, you know, and of course it brought in new mechanics and a new type of gameplay, that after it was so successful, they did two further titles for Super Famicom. They had Romancing Saga 2 and Romancing Saga 3. 2 came out in 93 and 3 came out in 95. And so that's the game. I like what ActDev said, then we got Mystic Quest. Mystic Quest wasn't bad. It was like RPG for very small children.
And it had a great score. We'll give Mystic Quest that. It had good music.
Yeah. And, you know, honestly, I think that, and you know how much, like, the Saga games, like, that came out on PlayStation go for.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Saga Frontier, you know, all of those, they...
Which is funny, because I rented Saga Frontier once, and I hated it.
Yeah, you know, I have, I had another Saga game that I have in Japanese, honestly, and it ended up being, like, way too, like, advanced text heavy that I couldn't really do. But I mean, it's just... It's a shame that we never got the Super Famicom. We could have had it. And I think that, you know, this particular game is just, you know, it really did something. You know, like I say, it was Square's second game on the system. And I think it really set off a boom in JRPGs on the Super Famicom. So... but of course, you know, for the other games in the title, of course, the Saga games came out in the U.S. as Final Fantasy Legend, Final Fantasy Legend 2, and Final Fantasy Legend 3. Then there was Romancing Saga, Romancing Saga 2, Romancing Saga 3. Then there was Saga Frontier, Saga Frontier 2. And we got Unlimited Saga, Emperor Saga, Imperial Saga, and Saga Scarlet Grace. Then there was The Legend of Legacy and The Alliance Alive. So... those are the things that came out with the Saga series. Really has its own massive following. Maybe not as much as the Final Fantasy ones, but it was pretty big.
All right.
Well, they're only talking about Final Fantasy Mystic Quest.
Yeah, I see that in chat, talking about that. All right, well, there it is. Your classic game of the week, Romancing Saga for the Super Famicom. I have to say that instead of Super Nintendo because... well, we never really got it. Oops, got the wrong shot there. We never really got it on the Super Nintendo. So, all right. Well, that is going to do it for Dark Sakura tonight, because I know we only wrote you in for a half show because you are sick. So please feel better.
I mean, I have no... You heard my voice cutting out.
Yeah, we can hear it starting to go. So rest up. Feel better. I know all the chat is sending you good vibes to heal up soon and all that good stuff.
See me unmade for once. I'm in my... But I have a new webcam that, honestly, I think it's got some problems. I mean, I didn't pay much for it, but better than my old one.
I think it's better than your old one. Yeah, it's a different angle tonight. It's good. So I'm looking for... But I will say, when you are feeling better, I am looking forward to the return of the wigs. Not that your natural hair isn't beautiful, but...
This ain't natural. There's nothing natural about this color.
We do love a good wig. All right.
Yeah, we love a wig.
Before I let you go, Dark Sakura, any final thoughts or last words for our listeners tonight?
I'm coming to your house right now for a strip waffle. I do have my thoughts. I know that there's not going to be much time by the time the podcast gets released, but go out and vote. Do it.
Yes,
and,
please.
Be safe when you do it. Wear your mask. We are coming into the third wave of coronavirus. And GenXGeeks.com, GEX. Oh, one last thing.
Yeah.
I was on the last episode of Am I Mental?
Oh, yes. Yes.
We had E on. Their show can be about 1 hour. They have a hard cut at 3. We hit the hard cut without noticing.
Wow. All right.
Or 2 hours. Sorry. So, yeah. I brought a little OLR randomness.
It happens.
Yeah,
All right.
But yeah, go check it out. You get to hear me talk about how fucked up my brain is.
I got to check that out. I bet it was a good show. I bet it was a good discussion.
You know a lot of it, Rob.
I'm not tuning in to hear that. I just, I'm curious to hear, the discussion.
We talked about Supernatural a lot, too.
Well, I can get that without just talking to you on text message. All right. Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, my love to you guys. My love to the listeners. Pet all the cats and harass all the children.
All right. Will do. Have a good night, Darsagra.
Tell Loki, tell Nelly I owe her cookies. Bye.
All right. Bye. Take care.
All right. Will do.
All right. We'll fix up the camera shot there, and we will move on to talking about some rapid fire news and traveling around the industry with some quick headlines. Loki.
Yes, so we've found out what the new games for this month are going to be for free. They're games with gold, if you will. On the Xbox side of things, we have, looks like Aragami Shadow Edition and Swim Sanity. Those are both Xbox One. And then Xbox compatible games, we have, looks like Full Spectrum Warrior, which is actually an original Xbox game, and Indiana Jones, or Lego Indiana Jones, for the Xbox 360. So, interesting. And
not
then,
great titles with the new console coming out. Sorry,
yeah.
But they're not. But I, you know, it's so hard now
there's
because
Game
of
Game. Pass,
exactly.
Though, so.
It's so hard because of Game Pass. Like, exactly. Like, I'm not disappointed because I have Game Pass. But yeah, no, I mean, you do have to look at what's going on with Sony, which, you know, you'll get to, and it's a different
yes.
story. Yeah.
So Sony's got some more exciting stuff. So, for example, they have Hollow Knight Voidheart Edition and Middle Earth Shadow of War.
That's a big
on
one.
On PlayStation 4. Also, if you're a PlayStation 5 owner, you get Bugsnacks.
That's
and
huge.
Those are. Yeah, and that's going to be available for 2 months as well, much like the other game on PlayStation 5 that they were offering for 2 months next year. So this is from November 12th through January 4th. You can pick up Bugsnacks. I'm wondering, since I don't own a PlayStation 5, if it's one of those things where I can kind of add it to my library type of thing. Because I used to do that with Xbox One games back yeah. when I still had a Xbox. Or if Sony's going to be complete dicks about it and just say, nope, sorry, you didn't register PlayStation 5 with us. Okay. So
I've got to be,
online...
Loki, to be fair, that's not them being dicks. That's just business. You know, buy a
no,
PlayStation
it
5. It's a
but,
little bit being a dick,
no,
but.
No. It is, though, because I'm paying for their PlayStation Plus service, so I should be entitled to the games that they're offering for free. It shouldn't be a caveat that, oh, well, I'm sorry, you got to also purchase a PlayStation 5 right now. Because that wasn't the way it used to be with other systems.
All right, I'll give you that. But we don't know. We don't know if we'll be able to redeem it or not yet. Yeah.
Anyways.
But they are very explicit that it is only the PlayStation 5 version of Bugsnacks. That we do know.
Yes.
You can't hit that and then get it on your PlayStation 4. That you can't do.
Correct.
We know that.
Yeah. So you will get a PlayStation 5 copy in your library, if you will. Yeah, I'll go ahead and try to do that. But I finally was able to redeem the October ones. I could not get their online site to work correctly. It would not detect that I have PlayStation Plus, even though I very much do have PlayStation Plus. I had to boot up my PlayStation 4 to actually go download them.
There's a very easy new method to try that I will talk about later. Wink.
Yeah.
Look at the show roll, what's coming up, and that's how I did it, and it's easy.
All right. And then on top of that, we talked about last week how Call of Duty was reducing the file size of Modern Warfare to allow it to be, you know, more digestible. But the new Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War, it's going to be 250 gigabytes on PC, which is enormous.
Oh my God, it's big.
So apparently, though, they have a non-4K install, which brings it down to 175 gigabytes, or a multiplayer-only client, which is only 50 gigabytes. But still, Jesus, that is ridiculous.
Wow.
Hopefully the console version isn't as big, because, I mean...
With the day one patch, that's the whole game.
Yeah, exactly. well, look at PlayStation 5. I think the usable hard drive space on that is like only 700 megabytes, so you're talking about a third of the hard drive used up for one game. That's so stupid.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, remember, data caps in many areas are only 1.2 terabytes. So that's almost one fifth of a monthly data cap. And yeah, I'm getting to the point where those data caps are really getting to be a concern. We hit like 980 gigs within the past month. But it's because, without getting into it, basically somebody would leave Twitch streams running and not be there watching them for a couple of hours. And you know, I was like, I understand, like I'm sympathetic to this, because how often have we had the TV on in the background and just had it running and it's background noise? Shit. My TV came with an ambient mode that is its purpose, is to just be on in the background kind of running. So that's kind of like what we've kind of instilled with our motions. But now it's like, oh crap, I can't do that with a constantly downloading stream or something, because I might hit a bandwidth cap. Like, and that's, it's crazy that that's a thing we have to worry about right now. I really hope these companies kind of evaluate that stuff. So Yes, Bobby Blackwolf says Smush needs to close his Twitch streams. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. So, all right. And no one special. Twitch streams. Did I don't think I said the other thing you're hinting at there. All right. Anyway, let's move on. Let's talk about N7 Day, because that's going to be this week. And of course, if you're a fan of Mass Effect, then you know that November 7th or N7 is kind of a big deal. And, you know, N7 Day never went away. It's always kind of an annual celebration of Mass Effect, although I feel like they do some bigger things one year than others. But what's happening, Mark Meer actually said over the weekend that he's going to be joining an N7 Day stream that's taking place on November 7th at 11 a.m. Pacific. And it's not just going to be him. Jennifer Hale will be there too. So if you're male Shep or female Shep, guess what? They will both be there. And the voice actors for Caden, Liara, Jack, Grunt, Ashley, Samantha Trainer, Morden, and Legion are all going to be there. Now, something interesting I noticed about that list. It's all characters from the original trilogy and none from Andromeda. Now, I said I wasn't going to talk about that game until they officially announce it, but if I were going to finally fucking announce that game, this might be the group of people I want to get together on a Zoom call to do it.
Probably.
So
didn't we have it rumored that it was supposed to be still coming out, like trademarks or something, or ESRB ratings?
You know what, Loki?
Something?
I'm not going to talk about it. All right. You know, sorry. You know how I feel. It'll happen when it happens. But let me just put it this way: if they don't say anything at this November 7th thing, then, like, well, I am so done. I am so, I can't even.
Way. Wouldn't it make more sense for those remakes to come out on the brand new systems that they're releasing just now versus, like, the current systems? Wouldn't you think that might be why they're waiting a little bit?
And I'd be okay with that. And Loki, that's a very logical answer. And I am all about that answer if that is the case. Yes. We'll see. All right. Anyhow, one other story here. Oh, yes, Wizardry. I don't know if y'all know about the Wizardry series, but this goes way back in gaming's history, right? The classic games, Wizardry. Well, a Japanese company named Drecom has just picked up the copyright, domestic, foreign trademark rights to Wizardry. And that means they now have the copyrights to Wizardry 6, 7, and 8, and Wizardry Gold. And they basically have the trademark over that name. This company is saying they will keep their commitment to the acquisition of popular intellectual properties and the development and cultivation of the internal properties. Here's the downside. Drecom is a mobile game developer, and they're based out of Tokyo. Now, they've worked on cool stuff like Disgaea RPG, Everybody's Golf, the mobile version. So, you know, it's not all bad news, but that's where the Wizardry stuff is right now. So maybe... Loki, they'll make something that will be for Facebook Gaming Cloud Service.
Oh. Gonna check hold out my that, breath on that one.
Check out that Wizardry I'm showing. All right. That's it for Rapid Fire News. Let's travel around the world and check out some release dates. I know we're getting into that time of year where there's going to be a lot. Right, Loki?
Not so much this week because they're saving it all for next week.
Fair enough.
So this week we've got Bakugan Champions of Astoria. That's on Nintendo Switch. Jurassic World Evolution Complete Edition on Nintendo Switch. Soldner X2 Final Prototype Definitive Edition on PlayStation 4. Shadowverse Champions Battle on Nintendo Switch. Descenders on Nintendo Switch. Dirt 5 on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Need for Speed Hot Pursuit Remastered on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. And last but not least, Tropico 6 on Nintendo Switch. That's it.
All right. Well, Japan has quite a few releases this week compared to other weeks. On the Nintendo Switch this week, we have Alpaca Ball All-Stars is out this week. And I'm wondering if that is actually some type of game that stars alpacas that you actually like.
I would imagine
Oh, my
does.
God, it is. fabulous. I am all about that. And it looks like that game's coming out in Europe as well at some point, so I'm sure we'll get it here. We'll see. Other games coming out in Japan, Construction Simulator 2 and 3 on the Switch. We also have real-time battle Shogi Online. Ochi de Rilakkuma. Rilakkuma ga Ochi ni Yatekita comes out this week. We also have Shadowverse Champions Battle and a game called Mary Skelter Finale. And I was like, what the hell is this game? Check out this description. You ready? Mary Skelter Finale is the latest series that depicts the end of jailbreak drama that revealed through Mary Skelter nightmares, Mary Skelter 2, and the Mary Skelter short stories. The protagonist, who is trapped in jail with a living prison full of strange monsters called Marchens, aims to escape with the help of blood maidens who possess a special power. And judging from the special art book, the blood maidens are sexy maidens. So,
I mean, aren't they all?
I would hope so. All right. Happy Halloween. A little late. Anyway, on the PlayStation 4, that Mary Skelter Finale game's also out there, as well as Ace Combat 7 getting a price reduction. And that's it. So it's a little more exciting on the Switch this week. How about the UK, Loki, since Dark Sakura took off?
So, yeah, in the UK, we've got The Walking Dead Saints and Sinners, the complete collection on PlayStation 4. Troy, a Total War Saga on PC, Ancestors Legacy on Switch, Instant Chef Party on Nintendo Switch, Need for Speed Hot Pursuit, I believe that's the remake, that's on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Let's see. And they're also selling a combination Pokemon Sword plus expansion pack, both Sword and Shield, they're doing that. And those are both on the Switch, of course. Black Desert Prestige Edition on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. LOL Surprise Remix, We Rule the World, on Nintendo Switch. Stardew Valley on Nintendo Switch. And see, Tropico 6, also Nintendo Switch. Paw Patrol Mighty Pups on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Nintendo Switch. Cloudpunk on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Nintendo Switch. And they have a little bit more games over there. Bakugan, wow. Champion of Vitrolia on Nintendo Switch. Dirt 5 on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Descenders on Nintendo Switch. And thankfully, that is it.
All right, big list. Some comments, because you know Alpaca Ball got some reaction in chat. And so we have SSG, I'm sorry, ACDEF says, President Cat and Vice President Alpaca. Better than the current administration, just saying. Sorry, I'm not supposed to talk about politics. Damn it. But ACDEF, I love the fact checking that happens on the show where our chat goes the extra mile. ACDEF in chat says, gave a link, Alpaca Ball All-Stars is on Steam right now. So you don't have to be in Japan to play Alpaca Ball, unless you want to play it on the Switch, I guess, in Japan. But you can get it on Steam right now. And ACDEF is saying it is what you think. It's alpacas playing soccer. Best game ever. I mean, what more do you need? I like a game that's honest, you know? I don't like a game where the title doesn't make sense and it's vague and what does it mean? I like a game that just puts it all on the table. You know, this is what it is. Take it or leave it. All right.
This is an alpaca and it's plain soccer.
Exactly. VidPower573 in chat says, Alpaca Ball goes great with Goat of Duty. What about Goat Simulator?
I have that one too.
What about Goat Simulator? All right.
Goat of Duty is a little different. It's more of just, joking off of Goat Simulator and then Call of Duty. So I don't know, it was free for a while ago.
SSJ100 Matt says, if 2020 continues to go south, at least we have this. That's right. 2020, the year of COVID, pandemic, and, well, hey, at least there was Alpaca Ball. Moving on. You guys are killing me. Moving on. Let's get to the next story. Everyone's talking about this, right, Logie?
Yeah. So, fortunately, we got the news, and even though games have gone gold, like Cyberpunk 2077, apparently going gold does not mean that it's still not going to be delayed again, and that's what happened. So, they had put out a message on Twitter saying that, you know, We're sorry, but unfortunately, we need additional time to work on this.
That ominous black text on a yellow background that's starting to look like the fucking BBC Breaking News Alert logo. Like when you see it pop up on your Twitter feed, you're like, oh, fuck, what now? Right?
So, now you see that. It's currently been delayed to December 7th. Or I'm sorry, December 10th. I say currently because I have a feeling that's going to be delayed again. And if you want to believe anonymous posts on Twitter or
Of course I do. Then
according to an anonymous insider that works at CG Product Red, they need about 4 to 5 months worth of time to work on the game. So whatever at this point, like so they're working on the day one patch stuff right now, obviously.
I don't see how it gets delayed that much because the game went gold, right? And they're already pressing the discs, right? So 3 weeks to make a patch that fixes some pretty major issues, I guess, makes sense. Even though technically there's going to be people who can't download that patch right away. So that disc needs to be able to like kind of play the game. But delaying it all the way to March for a day one patch, that just seems a little, I don't know. But again, you said the source, so take it or leave it, is a forum post, so you know, take it or leave it, but that that would just be very surprising. That's all I'm gonna say. And look, I've heard all I get it, and I usually game delays are fine because I get it. A bad game is a bad game forever, blah blah blah, said Miyamoto. Nobody will remember the delay. Witcher 3 was delayed a ton of times. Who cares at this point? Yes, I get it, and I support all of that. And yes, if the game isn't ready, then fucking delay it. I get it. However, the sheer number of times it's had to be delayed, and then on top of that, a 3 week delay, like a little baby step delay. There's something about those little, like, you know, bumblebee looking announcements on the Cyberpunk Twitter that are just starting to become self-parody in a way. You know what I mean? It's like,
and they are.
Come on.
In fact, a bunch of people were parodying them.
You're right.
To make all sorts of announcements.
Where is your project management? Like, how have you guys missed the day so many times? Well, I'm okay. You know what? Pandemic, everybody's working from home, not everybody was prepared for that. I do get it, but you know, you just can't help
but that was the September to November delay. So what about the rest of the time?
You can't help but just feel a little bit of like, oh my god, what is going on over there? But hey, look, if the game comes out and it kicks all sort of ass, everybody's setting the bar pretty fucking high for this game. So, I mean, I see that as a problem in some ways. Maybe the delays are to help lower the bar. I don't know. But people are setting the bar pretty fucking high for this game. So hopefully it delivers. And, you know, you're right. Like The Witcher 3, nobody's going to care about the delay at the end of the day. But, and I brought this up on Bobby's show before we went live tonight, one interesting thing about even a 3 week delay is that now this game is no longer going to be eligible for the Game Awards this year. Because Game Awards eligibility, if I remember right, based on last year, runs through the last week in November. It may not be exactly November 30th, but it's around that like Black... Sorry, something just fell over in studio. It's around that Black Friday timeline. So by bumping into December, they're going to miss it. So now it's not going to be eligible for Game of the Year. And it's going to have to be one of those games that you kind of remember deep into 2021 against whatever else comes out next year. And, you know, you might have some big, you know, like Horizon Forbidden West, or maybe even the Ragnarok game are going to be out on PlayStation 5. Microsoft will finally get Halo out and whatever other big titles they have. You know, there's going to be some pretty whopper titles next year. So Cyberpunk's going to have to compete against all that as opposed to this year where Nintendo isn't putting out a lot this holiday. Animal Crossing is likely to be a Game of the Year nominee just because of what it, you know, kind of represents with the pandemic and everything. And Final Fantasy VII Remake will probably get a nomination. And I'm not saying, I think Hades really stands a shot at getting a nomination. At least I hope it does. It does in my heart. But I feel like this is like it's not that the quality of games this year has been bad, but I think just by nature, because it has been, in a technological sense, the lame duck year before the new consoles, and then the pandemic on top of that. I mean, look what the pandemic did to the movie industry, right? Like the Oscars next year. Like, what are the Oscars going to look like next year? They're combining, like, isn't it like 15 months of movies or something? It's going to be weird. It's going to be going to be interesting to see what that does to award season and so forth, and what game actually does win the game awards. So, SG100 Matt in chat says, I'm fine with the delay, all kidding aside. I personally don't have the time to play right now. I just moved, and I don't even have a console set up. Do you think, Loki, if they were to do a bigger delay into March, and that's a big if, okay, I'm going to play the tinfoil hat game just because we have the time to do that on a three-hour show. To play the tinfoil hat game, if they do bump it to March, you had just mentioned about Mass Effect. Wouldn't you rather they delay it to make it even better on the new systems? Do you think bumping it to March may be because they're going to jazz it up, zhuzh it up for the new systems even more than they'd planned?
But they were already going to do that, though. They were already delaying the next-gen versions until March, so they were already planning.
Isn't that the problem? Didn't they say that in their last release?
They have 9 versions to work on, excluding the 2 next gen versions. They have the versions basically. So they have the PlayStation 4, PC. They have the PlayStation 4 Pro, PlayStation 5 backwards compatibility, Xbox One, Xbox Series X backwards compatibility, Xbox Series S backwards compatibility. I'm not sure what all the other ones were, but it's a lot of stuff that they have to test on. To see if it's going to be working correctly. And I don't know. That's excluding the other versions, though. Oh, and I'm sorry, Stadia. How could I forget Stadia?
Well, it's easy.
Facebook Gaming. I don't see Facebook Gaming on there. So that's a plus.
Clearly, it's not a real game. All right. Let's move on. Loki, I mentioned earlier in the show about another way to get your PlayStation Plus games, and that is through the brand new PlayStation app. So Sony actually updated the PlayStation app, which is to match the re-look of the PlayStation 5 and so forth. And so far, the new app seems to be doing better than the new store did when we were talking about that last week, where it was like, where is the title of the games? But I will say, if you check out, are you looking down right now because you're downloading the app?
I'm looking at my PlayStation. I already have the PlayStation app.
I have to look at my phone during the show sometimes too, but that's too funny time that I'm talking about that and suddenly you're looking down.
Well, I want to see if it looks right. I mean,
and see if you can redeem your PlayStation Plus game and see if it's a little easier. Oh, wait, you already did.
I already did, yeah.
All right,
wait a few more days.
Well, anyway, so you can go into that. And what's neat about it is that you'll be able to actually manage your PlayStation 5 storage through the app as well, which I believe Xbox Game Pass app allows you to do that a little bit too. So it's nice that Sony is joining that too, where you can kind of mobile manage it, especially when you're talking about downloading big games. And I think that's why it's important to be able to connect to your system and kind of manage some of the big, especially if you got like 250 gigs filled up by Goat of Duty or whatever. Then you got to delete some stuff to make room sometimes. So anyway, the app was updated this last week. It was updated on iOS and Android. There's now a home screen, and you have friends on there and we can play games. The app used to be split. There was a messaging app, and thank God somebody figured out that was a terrible idea, and they homogenized that into the one app. So if you had the standalone messaging app, you can get rid of it. The main app will show you your friends list, let you chat with those people. Messages is in there as well. And that's pretty cool. You can also, through the app, voice chat with friends on their PlayStation. So that's something they're kind of bridging the gap with as well. Whereas, on Nintendo, the only voice chat is through the app. And I don't think Microsoft really has that right now, where you can chat through the app with people in the game.
Good, because it's a terrible idea. Unless you're not, playing with people and you just want to chat with some random person that has the PlayStation account, but they're not playing games.
You could just call them otherwise on the phone or FaceTime or whatever.
Use my phone for phone things? No. I mean, or Discord's a thing, I guess. So
yeah. That Discord's the big one now too. That's a lot. I play games with people and we just hang on Discord. So it's, and there's been nights where I'm playing something, my friend's playing something else, and we're still just chatting on Discord. It's whatever. So, Also, the store, you know, the store is integrated into the app because that's the real moneymaker. So, because the app doesn't cost you anything, but if you want to buy stuff through the store, that will do it. But you can also, again, manage that remotely. So that's pretty cool. I'm glad to hear the app is getting an update, and I'm very glad to hear it's not two separate apps anymore. And again, I went in there and used the app a little bit, and it was good. I was able to redeem my game. So try that next month, Loki.
I will try that next month since their website sucks.
All right.
So bad.
Maybe they'll fix the website by next month, but you know, we'll see. All right. I got another story for you guys, and it's about Netflix, since I know a lot of you guys are, you know, streaming and watching all that. And we know that there's a lot of video game related projects in the works at Netflix right now. But let me take a moment to tell you just how many there are. There are 10 different projects in the works right now at Netflix. And this list doesn't even have the Witcher, apparently. The Witcher Blood Origin, I guess, is the new... I'm sorry, The Witcher Blood Origin is the prequel series, so that is on the list, but The Witcher Season 2 is not on this list I'm about to read here. So there's two Witcher shows right now, although yes, if you want to get technical, The Witcher is based on a book, but we all know the game helped, and the game set our expectations of what the show would actually look like. What else is in the works? Resident Evil, a live-action series. Resident Evil Infinite Darkness, a animated series. Assassin's Creed, a live series. Cyberpunk Edgerunners, an animated series. Splinter Cell, an animated series. The Division, a live movie. Devil May Cry, an animated series. Final Fantasy, a live series. I keep forgetting that is in development. It's actually, this list doesn't say it's Final Fantasy 14, but it is. Not something, because it's the same people that did The Witcher that are working on it. And The Cuphead Show, an animated series. All of that being worked on right now. And Castlevania is getting a fourth season. Dragon's Dogma just came out within this last month, that animated series. So, like, Netflix is like the home of video game adaptations right now. It's pretty crazy. So, but that's good. What do you think about all these, you know, all these video game projects on, you know, and this doesn't even count, like, what's already out there, like the Ingress anime, although... I doubt they're doing another season of that, or you know, some of the other stuff that's out there. It's just kind of neat.
I probably won't get around to watching it. Like, I still haven't watched any of The Witcher or Castlevania, even though I hear those are really good.
Yeah,
I did unfortunately try watching the Ingress anime, and that was not very good. I don't know. Maybe I'll check out one of them. Maybe the live action Final Fantasy 14 would be interesting. We'll see. I have to run out of things to watch.
Yeah. Questbuster in chat says the Dragon's Dogma one isn't bad. So there's that. SG100 Matt says, hope they all don't suck. All right.
They've been pretty good so far. I don't think that they're really, you know, there's a lot that have been really terrible. So the only thing that makes Ingress the anime bad is the same thing that makes Ingress bad. And that's the storyline's too convoluted and doesn't make any sense. So,
who plays for the story?
Well, right, I understand that, but like, why make an anime if the story's not compelling? Like, I don't know, it's just not, it's not very good. So that, but that's the fault of the source material, not so much that the people aren't talented enough to make it into a series.
All right, well, let's move on. Loki, we have a couple more stories before we get to the listener roundtable. Loki.
People need to leave Sakurai alone. I mean, he's just a perfectionist. A little too much of a perfectionist, though, because his original scope for the adding Steve and the Minecraft characters to Smash Ultimate was he wanted to allow players to create their own Minecraft levels and be able to import them into Smash.
That's crazy.
Obviously, that was not something that was implemented.
Welcome to my Minecraft level, Dungeon of Dicks. Because you know that's what they would have done.
It was too difficult in development to get it working, and so he just didn't end up having something, you know, like that implemented. But I mean, it's fine. That would
Sakurai opted to take a nap, and he earned it. So leave him alone.
Like, I could do all this extra stuff, or I could take a nap, and nap is probably a better thing.
Honestly, he earned it. Don't give him shit. I will fight you.
Exactly. Right. So,
can you imagine what that would have looked like if actual Minecraft levels were? I think that was just a bad idea to begin with, because you know it, that people are going to do Booby Stadium, Dungeon of Dicks, that you name it, somebody's going to do it. So it's probably for the best that they didn't, you know, didn't do it. All right.
Yeah.
Moving on. This is a nice one to end the show on a little bit. We still have the listener roundtable coming out up, but for our last news story here, the PlayStation 2 is celebrating an anniversary. That's right, the PlayStation 2 is 20 years old this week. The PlayStation 2 came out 20 years ago in North America. So I know some of you want to get technical with the Japanese release and all that good stuff. But obviously, a lot of people looking back fondly on the PlayStation 2 as one of the greatest consoles of all time. You know, yes, even counting Super Nintendo and Dreamcast and all your other faves. You know, PlayStation 2 brought us a lot of huge series when we talk about things like God of War, you know, just how Metal Gear Solid, although yes, the original was on the PlayStation, the sequels really upped the game, and so on. Like, what was there a game that just really defined the PlayStation 2 for you, Loki? In that whole era?
I mean, a lot of like Grand Theft Auto 3 and 4, three and like Vice City.
Vice City, yeah.
San Andreas, I mean, those are good pretty one. Big. Dance Dance Revolution, a lot of the games we played on there.
Honestly, Beatmania 2DX, even if though that was in Japan, like for me, those games really defined that era and like why I had a Japanese PlayStation 2 before I had an American one because of that.
A lot of like the early stuff, I want to say, because you know, back the PlayStation was also, I didn't have Final Fantasy 11 on it, but I had have the HD loader, so that was fun, you know, loading games on with that.
Oh, yes.
Here's
some answers from chat. Bobby Blackwolf says Katamari Damacy. W04 says All the Clover Studio games were mint. VidPower says PlayStation 2 was a great console and a great DVD player. That's very true.
It was a great DVD
That is
player.
Why that thing sold buku bananas, because, you know, putting the DVD stuff in there was a great idea. Sacred Jade says Mortal Kombat, Deadly Alliance, and Deception. So, yes. And Magic Pengel from me. That was a PlayStation 2 all-time great. Although, you know, I've always been a sucker for Final Fantasy games. So, I mean, Final Fantasy 10 was huge. 12 was great. And, of course, 11 online. With PlayStation 2, that game was made for PlayStation 2, really. The PC was kind of secondary. By the time we got it in the U.S., we got it with the first expansion. That game was really made for the PlayStation 2 in Japan. So that's a big one, too. Some other music games coming in from Bobby saying Mad Maestro and Guitaru Man. So, yeah. Good answers, guys. Good answers. So looking back on the PlayStation 2, and yes, you're old because the PlayStation 2 just turned 20. Now, how old are you? How old were you when you got a PlayStation 2? Add 20 to it. All right. You're welcome. Let's move on to the listener roundtable. If you have questions in chat or comments, probably going to be cursing me out after what I just said, but things you want to talk about here on air, please, by all means, leave those questions and comments in chat. I'll get to as many of those as I can. But as part of the roundtable, I also want to get to the mailbag. So let's get to the mailbag tonight. And we do have a couple of emails tonight here. And first, I want to mention this because Bobby can't resist a cheap plug here, but it's a good plug, and I'll allow it. Saying thing you're looking forward to in Awesome Games Done Quick, where did we mention on last week's show? I thought we did. If we didn't, then I'll say it. Bobby's going to be a full host for the next one. He was a pinch hitter host on the Summer Games event, and he did one hosting stint on the Devil May Cry 4 speedrun, but he's going to get a full shift this time, so he's gonna be doing multiple games for Awesome Games. So that's great. Congrats, Bobby. And yes, I did look at the list earlier this week, and the thing that caught my eye that I hope Bobby gets to voice, although I'm sure lots of people will be wanting to do it, is the Beat Saber Showcase in VR, even though I know Bobby doesn't like those super crazy hard levels, but I think if somebody else is doing it and is doing it very well, it'll be an awesome thing to kind of look at and watch and talk about. So for me, that Beat Saber expert thing definitely caught my eye, and I hope they don't put that 3 o'clock in the morning my time. I hope it is a prime time event that I'll be able to watch. I also think it's interesting they have things like BPM, bullets per minute, where that's like a very recent game. Although, I mean, the Games Done Quick event, they put out new games are in it all the time. So that's pretty cool. I don't know if you got a chance to look at the list, Loki, but is there any speed run you're looking
for? I'm looking
at
it right now.
The Diablo 3 one caught my eye, too, because Diablo 3 is very random in many ways. Like, the maps can be very random. So I'm kind of curious about the speed run strategy. I imagine there's certain like ways you can kind of tell the seed and things like that. So I'm curious to how that'll work. So.
Yeah, I don't know if there's anything like I'm super like hyped to see. Like, I was hoping they'd have another Minecraft run, but they have Minecraft Dungeons, which will be interesting. So I'll check that out.
I like Minecraft Dungeons. It's cool. It's like an old school Diablo.
Yeah, so that'd be interesting to see.
Yeah,
I don't know. You know what? Does anyone run the Burger King games? Because I would really like to see that.
Loki, you're going to be the first. Like, no. You need to work on that.
No, I don't have them anymore. I only have Pocket Bike Racing, and that was literally the worst one of the bunch.
I think I have a copy of Sneak King still, and it should be backwards compatible. I don't know. I've never tried.
Yes, it should be. You know, because they had both the Xbox and Xbox 360 versions on the same disc.
Loki, hell with your game. To hell with your game. You need to be the world speedrun champion of Sneak King.
No, I don't want to do that. It was funny, though. Actually, I like somebody I follow who's a game developer, this guy named Danny, who streams a lot on, or he does a lot of YouTube stuff, and he's actually been dedicating himself to try to become a Minecraft speedrunner. I was like, yeah, you know, if he could do it, I probably could do it, too. I just still... See, the problem is I don't use mousey keyboard a lot for... anything PC, so I'm already at a disadvantage because I never was really kind of I'm not used to using the mouse and keyboard, so I'd have to get used to that, and that's a whole learning curve right there. But I like watching them.
All right, let's get to some emails. We did get some emails tonight. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com, and we're going to read some on the air. So we have Mish with our first email tonight. Hello, hello, saying, Dear OLR, hi, Mish here, or Mishikins on Twitch. First and foremost, I'd like to ask you that you please excuse any spelling and grammar mistakes, as my spelling and grammar are horrible. Well, lucky you got me tonight. Just teasing, maybe. All right, so moving on. No worries. I have bad spelling and grammar because text messages have ruined me, as I think they've ruined a lot of people. Now down to brass tacks. So I've been watching the show since maybe early 2000-ish, and I have to say I am a longtime fan. That is a very long time. So we started in the early 2000s. So thank you so much for being here and being a part of it. Thank you, thank you. I may not always participate, but I do listen to every show. I just wanted to let you know you are all doing a great job at uplifting every gamer's voice and letting them be heard. That means a lot that somebody would call that out and acknowledge that. So thank you very much, Mish. I appreciate that. Continuing on with the email. Anyway, what I was writing about was that recently you discussed inclusion of the disabled in games. Well, recently I purchased Watch Dogs Legion and discovered they have closed captioning in the game's menu. When you boot up the game, or is it load the game now? Yeah, I'm that old that I still spell disc to mean disc and boot to mean load anyway. Well, as long as you're not saying when I load star, *8,1 the game. That's an old C64 reference. I'll leave it at that. I think people say boot, load. I think we all know what you mean, so it's interchangeable, really. It has the option to use captions and voice when playing the game. I thought that was really neat. The game literally reads, that's the voice part, what's on the screen for the visually impaired. That is really cool, because I know we have folks who are visually impaired who have listened to OLR in the past. I don't know if they're listening this week, but I know that type of accessibility really allows them to play more games. And I am all about games are for everyone. So when a developer takes the time to put that in their game, I think that means a lot to a lot of people. So I think that's rad. And I'm glad you called that out so that, you know, if Watch Dogs Legion maybe wasn't on your radar and maybe you have a disability that that this could really help you, we should put that game on people's radar. That's great. Meaning text and actions, which I think is cool. Hopefully more games will include such info to help more and more disabled gamers out there. Well, have a good day. Sincerely, Mish. Thank you so much for the email, Mish. Thank you for the kind words about the show, of course. And thank you for the FYI that Watch Dogs Legion has some pretty awesome accessibility issues. Really appreciate that. Cool. And I got to say, you know what? Even when it comes to things like closed captioning. Now, I know that's different. You were kind of talking about that there's like voices that'll narrate what's on screen, kind of like, I don't know if you guys know this, but there will oftentimes be showings of movies at the theater or like things you can get where there's like an extra like earpiece you can use that if you are visually impaired will describe what's happening on the screen. Because like, you know, if there's if you're watching Fast and the Furious or something, the dialogue in those movies is not exactly its shining point. So
say, is it just like bananas?
Yeah,
it's
fiery car explosion. I haven't watched it, so I couldn't tell you.
Is it the five physics? Cars of the five physics.
But I think it does. I don't want to poke fun at it because I think it is a great thing that they're doing. But you know, I think they do describe a little bit more in detail what's going on. However, I will say the reason why I brought it up, like closed captions, like I am a fairly abled gamer where I don't necessarily need closed captions to get through a game, but I like using them because what I do get is that I get really distracted by background noise, and sometimes it's really hard for me to isolate of one voice when there's like a lot of other stuff going on. Like my brain kind of wants to go, well, what's that music? What's this? You know, it's kind of like, so when the closed captioning is on the screen, I can actually kind of like focus on what the person is saying. And that, I think, is great. And I will watch movies with it. And I know some people hate it. But, like, if you've ever watched a foreign film, you're reading that stuff anyway, which is silly if you won't watch foreign movies because you have to read subtitles, then you're missing the fuck out because there's a lot of great stuff out there. So I will use closed captioning on, English movies just so I can make sure I don't miss things or a funny joke or things like that. Bobby Blackwolf says, I watch Doctor Who with closed captions because of the accents. Yeah, I mean, exactly. That's a good reason, too. Questbuster says, I grew up with subtitled anime, so my eyes are ready. And Questbuster also points out the first thing that Watch Dogs Legion does is run you through those accessibility options, which are pretty neat. Amish is in chat. Hey, Amish, who says, I couldn't remember what it's called, but it literally tells you when the game starts. Press X button. And I thought that was neat. I use captions myself because I'm visually impaired somewhat.
Have that for Minecraft as well.
W04 with a good comment too, that closed captioning is a lifesaver when you have roommates, and that could go a variety of ways because your roommates are being distracting in the background, or like your roommates might be on a different schedule and trying to sleep, so you're trying to watch a movie at a really low volume. So yeah, good call. So Tiger Claw in chat says, my issues with movies with subtitles is that it distracts me from actually seeing the visuals. Well, then you can, you know, they do have dubs that are available if you want to do it that way. Sometimes it depends on the movie, or turn closed captioning off. But what I like is that there's an option. You can do it Tiger Claw's way or you can do it my way. Like, I think that option is great. So, all right. I will get to another email here, but Loki, did you want to chime in with any last minute stories or anything here before I get to another email?
Yeah, since everyone was memeing on the fact that the Xbox Series X looks like a fridge, they went ahead and made it into a fridge. So they're offering, they have three of them that were made, three Xbox Series X fridges. Two they gave to influencers, one they're giving away. I thought it was funny, though, that they actually had a fridge that they made, or at least decked out one to look like a Xbox Series X.
I think that's great. I love it. I wish I was Snoop Dogg because he got one, right?
Yeah, yeah, he got one, and I can't remember the tech. She's a tech streamer. She got one to iJustine, I think. Yeah, they're giving one away.
She was huge on Justin TV back in the day, if I remember right. So, anyway, I wish we were popular, Loki. I want an Xbox fridge. 18
like,
years.
Or PlayStation 5, anything, you know, or. One other one I was going to mention too. So they made the announcement the play date is almost done. It's going to be $149 and coming out early 2021. Yeah. And then I saw, what was it? Danny over there at Gamer Tag Radio is like, oh, look, hey, I got this too. It's like, okay, listen, you've gotten enough free systems already in the last few days doing your photo shoots and all that. Cut it out.
Don't hate on other people's success. Don't hate. Don't hate.
I'm just joking. It's just funny, though, because like, so, here's my glamour shoot out front of my apartment. Here's my glamour shoot in my apartment. He made a lot of content. They got their money's worth there.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. VidPower in chat says, will the Xbox Series fridge be worth a lot of money in the distant future due to its rarity? Why would you ever sell it? If you were Snoop Dogg or iJustine, why would you ever sell it? I'd use it. Come on, Microsoft. We're looking at getting a new house. I want a new fridge. All right. And I would love my fridge to glow green like that. Like, I know a lot of people associate green with the fridge and like, oh, it's moldy or something. But no, I think an Xbox would give the kitchen a nice mint flavor, don't you? All right. Anyway, let's get to another email here, and then I'll see if there's anything else Loki wants to talk about. This email is coming from YYR over at participate@orangelaunchradio.com saying, hello, LR. On last week's episode, there was a discussion about whether streamers should have to pay royalties to game developers or publishers. As a small indie developer myself, and I'm going to add this part, download super multitasking, thank you, continuing the email, I found the discussion interesting, and I felt compelled to weigh in. As an example, it was argued that since music royalties should be paid if music is played, why shouldn't a developer be paid when their game is played? And once again, we have a situation where games are different from other forms of media. Music is obtained and paid for very differently from games. Most of us either replay music that we already own, listen to music included in the background of games we play, or hear music using a streaming service. Back in my day, you used to tape them off the radio and then play the cassette tape. Am I right, Loki? That's how we used to do it. All right. Where the beginning and the end are kind of missing. All right. Let's see. What are the streaming service? Yes. If it's the latter, the streaming service pays a tiny royalty to an artist and or a publisher. But if it's one of the other two options, no money changes hands at all. If a streamer decides to play one of my games on stream, they've already paid me. None of my currently released games are free to play. So in essence, they've already paid me a royalty of sorts. Further, I could consider it free advertising when a streamer plays one of my games. I naturally want as much exposure as possible, so this definitely is a benefit to me. Now, you could make a counter argument. What if I sell a million copies and I no longer need that exposure? The counterpoint to that is simple. This is the gaming industry. One successful game does not guarantee another. When my next release comes out, I will absolutely need to get it in front of as many eyeballs as possible, so naturally, I'll want the streamers to help me out once again. It's a mutually beneficial relationship on both sides. Streamers get content, developers get exposure. I see zero issues with it. If I'm offered a royalty in the future, maybe I'd take a small one, say 2% like the milk. I just wouldn't want to disturb that mutually beneficial relationship. So that's my 2 cents. And you know what? I appreciate hearing a developer perspective on that. I'm still of the feeling that it should maybe be a little bit of a choice. And again, it's not like a hard line for me. Like, I'm not saying like, oh, they need to be collecting their money and all this stuff. I'm more of the mindset where I'm kind of surprised companies like Nintendo haven't taken more of a stance on it and tried to be more assertive, because Nintendo doesn't really need the exposure in that regard. I'm just kind of surprised we haven't really had that conversation. And we kind of have had to an extent on like YouTube, but Nintendo has really yet to like really assert it on Twitch. So maybe they do ultimately feel like, hey, the exposure, the talk, it's all ads for our game. It's a good thing in the long run. But I just kind of feel like if that shoe were to ever to drop, I'm not sure the streamers out there are as in the clear under, you know, repurposing the content with so much percentage of your own content and those sort of laws that they kind of claim as they might think. But I think at the end of the day, and I think common ground that I do have with everybody in this scenario is that we need to take another look at this law, because the trademark, the patent, the copyright, and all this law we're working with, is from a very different era when these sorts of technologies didn't exist. And we need to kind of examine this law as a whole so we don't have a fucking gray area, so that we're not asking these types of questions as to like, what is a person entitled to and da, 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 and all this stuff. So that's where my head is at with it, honestly, at the end of the day. So, yeah, and Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, fair use in video games has never gone in front of a judge. So we don't know if it's legal or not yet. And that's what I'm saying, is that, look, I love streaming too, But I'm of this reality where it's like, you know what? The shoe might drop someday. But, and I'll end with this and I'll move on with the rest of Wire's email. If that shoe were to drop and I couldn't stream Nintendo games anymore, I keep making them the bad guy and I'm only doing it because of that history with YouTube and everything they tried to pull there. It makes it easy to point at them as the bad guy first. But if YYR were to come out and say, look, I know the law allows me to collect, but as an indie developer, I'm not going to because of all these reasons I just stated in the OLR email, then guess what, YYR? I'm playing your game. And I bet a lot of streamers would feel the same way. So, and I think at the end of the day, and that is kind of where I landed last week, is that you can make it an option, but at the end of the day, streamers, if there's companies out there that say, we realize we could collect if we wanted to, we're not going to encourage you to play our game, then streamers are going to follow suit. And I really think at the end of the day, that's what's going to happen. Okay, so I think I hope you hear the common ground that I really think we kind of both have, but I'd love to hear your perspective as somebody who develops and, quite frankly, has had their games streamed by me and other people out there, as you were talking about in a previous email, which is always cool to see. All right, on to another topic from YYR. I'll end by saying that I'm deeply disturbed and highly offended by a comment Rob made last week. Well, he dared to say that White Castle burgers were gross. Rob, you take that back. You take that back right now, or I will be all over you like mayonnaise on French fries, or not. My official response is, I said what I said. That is my response. White Castle burgers are gross. You know why they're gross? And I think it's why I don't really like McDonald's burgers that much either. They're steam. It's that steam cooking that they do at White Castle. It's gross. Like, now, look, I wasn't high when I ate them in Vegas, and maybe if I had been, I would have enjoyed it more. Not that I'm saying you are, but I'm just saying.
I do want to try them, and I am disappointed that their closest restaurant is in Vegas, but yeah, go on.
Yeah, that's where I had them for the first time was in Vegas, so there is that. SG100 Matt says, I mean, Rob wasn't wrong. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate you being in my corner. W04 says, do not back down, Rob. I won't. This is my hill and I'm dying on it. White Castle is overrated. But W04 does follow up saying In-N-Out over everything. Maybe it's because I live in California, but like In-N-Out is good. I don't dislike In-N-Out by any means, but I feel like I only eat it when people are visiting and want to have In-N-Out because they can never have it. And that's enough for me. Like, it's very rare that I'm like craving In-N-Out. You know what I mean? I'm more now into places like Smashburger and like those types of places that kind of Chipotle'd the burger by doing, and Shake Shack. We actually have a Shake Shack here in Sac now. I think that came up on a previous episode. And I like going there. I like the like slightly more upscale. I do think as far as like, but see, steaming the burgers, see, DJ Rama S says, bro, steam burgers are the best. Hard disagree. I'm sorry. Like if I have to eat a fast food burger and I know I'm going to get screamed at. If I'm talking like fast food, honestly, like the way Burger King does it with the flame grill is way better than like McDonald's or White Castle. That is the way to do it. So that's my opinion. All right. let's see. So lastly from YYR, thanks again for the show. Election day seemed to be miles away, and here it is, just 2 days out. We've made it this far. Hope you all continue to hang in there. I'm trying. Hugs, Aaron, YYR. Thank you. It's been a crazy year. And like, honestly, I'm sitting here going, what can I do on Tuesday night that will not, like, and like the easy answer is play video games, but like where I am not even tempted to flip the channel and obsess over the map as the vote tallies are coming in and, you know, my own feelings on all of this. Like, what can I just, like, I seriously just want to get in the car and drive to the forest and go camping or look at stars or something that night just so I am nowhere near.
You're going to go to the fort?
Yes, I'm going to go to the fort. All right. Any other last minute stories for us, Loki? Thank you for the email, YYR.
No, I don't really have anything else.
All right. Then I think we're going to wrap up the show. So that's it. Thank you guys so much for listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Appreciate you participating along with the show. thank you so much. We are the show where every gamer has a voice. So if you enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, tell a friend. Help us spread the word. Tell a friend or two about the show. A nice tweet, an auto host on Twitch goes a long way. I still can't see the host because I'm logged in with the wrong account, but I'll have to talk to Bobby if maybe I should switch over to the main account when I do this so I can see the host. But yeah, thank you guys so much for that. For the hosts and all that stuff, and those that go the extra mile with the follows and the bits and the subs and all that, really appreciate you. And I'll shout those out after the show here live on Twitch. And thanks for giving us something to look forward to in these pandemic-y times where it's like, ugh, I'm stuck at home all the time, nothing to do, but the show gives me something to look forward to. So I really appreciate that. All right, final thoughts time. Loki, how about you? Your final thought.
Just going to keep working on my game.
Sounds like a way to do it.
Making progress.
All right. And my final thought is whatever happens on Tuesday, it's going to be fine. No matter which side of the fence you're on politically. It might feel very bad. But, you know, and I've said this on a previous episode about you all know my love of drag queens and things like that. And I kind of ending with my final thought as something like Katya said on an episode of All Stars 2 that has not left my mind since then is when she looks in the mirror and she says, I'm not going to panic because I don't do that anymore. So that is my mindset going into whatever may come this week. And 2020 in general, because even if the election does go the way I want it to, and I'm talking up and down the ballot with propositions and everything else that I'm looking at, not just the big one, I I'm not going to panic about a lot of stuff that I can't control. So that's it. Yeah, and Pod Culture in chat says it's going to be ugly no matter how things go. And I think that is true. ActDev says, if we have endured 2020 so far, we can make this work. And I hope so. And I hope the one positive thing about this extremely negative year is that humanity can evolve as a result of it, if that makes sense. We're going to become smarter together and stronger together. Hopefully. And I'll leave you on that thought. So enjoy playing your games. Enjoy the next, 7 days of gaming. Enjoy this week, and enjoy looking forward to the next consoles, PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X and all that good stuff. Have a wonderful week, you guys. We'll see you next time. Good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.